Owen Benjamin, thank you for doing this. Thanks thank you for coming me. All this way. I've interviewed, I don't know how many people who've been canceled. I had a whole franchise interviewing people who've been canceled. Kind of over it, except in your case, you have the most amazing cancellation story, both because you were, I think, the first big name, the first blue check on Twitter to get kicked off Twitter, but also because of what happened after. So I know this is probably tedious for you, but it's, I think, really interesting for others. If you could just go through what happened, where you were in your life, how that life ended, and what happened next.
Yeah, and thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh.
This has been a blast.
Thank you. Me too.
So I was doing comedy in Los Angeles. Like, I started as a piano player. My dad sang opera. He taught rhetoric, you know, like just basically how to speak in a way that's interesting to people.
You were a piano player?
Yeah, I started when I was like 2 or 3 years old, and I still teach piano, like classical piano.
Wow, not jazz piano.
Not jazz piano, no, that's unspeakable. I have a jazz friend who's really into jazz, and I'm like, why do you enjoy breaking the rules that make things beautiful? It's a funny relationship, but... And so, like, I think with that musical background, my mom taught children's literature, it like kind of created a comedian in a way that's a craft. Like, I wasn't, you know, seeking fame or like a lot of comedians can just be like kind of spilling everything on stage, like approve of me, you know, and I was all about just doing that craft properly. And so I incorporated music with it. I go to Los Angeles, I get on the show Punked. I do Comedy Central specials. Adam Sandler puts me in some movies. I become like one of the leads of a sitcom. Vince Vaughn, who I love, produced it, and we went on the road together. Like, I'm having a great time out there.
As a stand-up.
Yeah, and an actor, like, but more based around my personality. Like, I'm not one of those, I can be a French prince guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I can't be like, who am I today, you know? And so I'm having this life, and I never really thought about a lot of these issues. Like, I didn't think politics were anything. You know, I just avoided all of that. I just autistically focused on my craft.
So you were not in your personal life, like, talking about politics at dinner?
No, I was just trying to do my job as best as possible. Like, I was very just job oriented, where I was just always creating and writing and trying to do the best joke. And then I saw what was happening in comedy, where, you know, the concept of a bad word, like a word carries like intention, right? Yes. Like, that's insane. Like, you can't put human consciousness in an object. Right?
Yes.
Just like a gun kills people. No, a person kills people.
Right.
You can kill someone with a minivan filled with lollipops. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And so the idea that a word without intention is wrong, or that a group can't be made fun of, was so twisted, but I was just kind of rolling with it, because comedy for me is a way to discharge stress.
Yes.
Like, if you avoid a group, that's actually very cruel. You know,
comedy's a pressure relief valve.
Yes. Yeah. Like, people build up trauma in their life, and the joke allows you with the laughter to look at it and deal with it. Right. Versus like, I'm not a tear you down comedian. It might sound like it, but it's more like a way to help someone see something, like,
yes,
like relationship, like help them communicate or help all this stuff. And so I took it very seriously. Ironically, I took comedy very seriously, where I would try and help a couple, you know, by doing relationship jokes, and then they get along better. And then they, you know, I had this very loyal people because of that. You know, I was never like, I want to humiliate you, right?
Right.
And so when I was a heckler at a Renaissance Festival in high school, that was my job.
What does that even mean?
I was the dude in the stocks, and I would make fun of people, and they'd pay to throw tomatoes at me.
Actually?
9 hours a day. Yeah. And a gypsy would take the money. And I learned that you don't attack based on what I believe. It's where their pride is.
You were paid to be a heckler at a Renaissance Festival.
Yeah. Like, you know, at Renaissance fairs, you have like the prisoner in the stocks, and he's,
yes,
like just making fun of people. And that was me. That was like my job.
Did people actually hit you with tomatoes?
Yeah. But if I got them properly mentally, they couldn't aim properly. They'd throw into the ground. It was really interesting. And so, like, a really, really fat guy, you don't call fat. He doesn't care. It's like a guy like me who eats too many cookies because he has 4 kids. Like, I'd spiral, right?
It's right,
like,
me
it's
too.
Like, where the pride is.
So, totally agree.
Yeah, like, if someone made fun of me for my pants not being, like, designer enough, I'd be like, you're gay, right? Like, I wouldn't even care.
Right.
But, like, if they made fun of the things that I have, like, issues with, you know, and so I would look at people and I try to
that all the time.
I try to find their pride. right?
Yes.
And so that, even though I could be a little harsh, it was actually good for them. And so I'd get a bigger crowd than the joust. Like, that was always my goal. You know, the joust, they'd have this joust going, and I'm like, I got to beat that joust. Because it became this show where, like, because I wouldn't attack women, I just overly compliment women, because that would be the way to get the guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you don't just, you never attack a woman. It's like, oh, your wife is so beautiful. Like, are you at work all day? Right? And so she's having fun with the tomatoes. He has to get it, you know. And I do it to everyone so they knew it wasn't personal, right? And that's why I have to make fun of every identity. Like, when they say you can't make fun of Black people or Jewish people, whatever, I'm like, then I can't make fun of Muslims or Christians. Like, I have to have everyone or else I'm a mercenary. Yeah.
Because you believe in universal principles? Is that
exactly?
One?
Yeah. And it's like, I can't show favoritism. And ironically, that's how I believe it's very cruel to do that. Like, where it's, you know, like I would come up with like veteran jokes for my veteran friends, or like wheelchair jokes for my wheelchair. It's like, if not, they're like subhuman. It's like, oh, don't say anything to him. He can't handle it. Right? Like, yes. I would feel horrible if someone was like, imagine if all the guys were riffing and they're like, don't make fun of Owen. He's like very weak and dumb. And you're like, what? No, you can make fun of me. And so I'm from like the honor culture of like, you make fun of weakness and you get stronger and you build bonds. Yes,
I am too.
So I saw that happening in LA, and it was Obama's second term. I think something happens second term when people double down.
I agree.
Right?
I've noticed. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. When they're like, they're just ghost riding. And I'm like, at that point, you can either be like, this didn't turn out the way we thought, or they're like, they just tunnel vision and become insane.
Yes.
I saw that with the left in Hollywood then, right? And you can kind of see that happening now.
Yeah, kind of.
Right?
Yeah.
Where you're like, remember that whole Epstein thing, the war thing? And people are just like, no, this is even better. That was the Obama thing. When at first it was like, oh, this guy's going to stop racism and he's so peaceful, right? And then when that wasn't the thing, they'd be like, the word family is a slur, you know? And I saw that. But I was...
Even in your world, even among comics, you saw that?
Yeah, I would see the same... Okay, like Sarah Silverman, that became this like super intense... She used to have this hilarious joke. She goes, I saw the movie 300. It was how gay it was out of 10. Like, funny, right?
Yeah, very.
Imagine her doing that. Like, all of a sudden, those people, like all those hardcore liberal types... They were once somewhat funny, and then boom, it was all gone. Everything's serious. Everything's about victim consciousness. And I was like, this, what's funny about, and then I saw this one special where this girl was just talking about like being raped. And there, she was like, I was raped. And people are laughing. She's like, don't laugh. I'm like, dude, this is nuts. Right? Like, you want to give victims relief, you know?
Yes.
Exactly. Like, that's not helping victim, you know?
It's important to know that whatever you're going through is pretty common, because we're all people.
Exactly.
And so when someone is really distressed, it's helpful to say to that, or when you're really distressed, it's helpful for someone to say, you know, I've been through this. I know someone's been through it. Like, people go through this. Like, it's going to be fine or not. Or you're going to go to heaven in the end or whatever. But
right.
To put their suffering in perspective is relief for them.
That's what, how to slay a wizard. It's like, one of the main things is isolation. Like, you're the only one thinking.
Yes.
It. Yeah. And so that's the role of the comedian, is like, you know, like the fight between a man and a woman where she had a bad dream about you, right? Like, stuff like that, you know? It's like, they'll laugh.
Wait, that's happened to other people?
Right. Exactly.
You cheated on me in my dream.
I was laughing with we're just going back and forth with Candace Owens about that when everyone was freaking out about her dream. I'm like, do they not know women have dreams and take them very seriously?
Yes, very.
That's every woman.
I know.
I have dreams about like spiders and clouds and stuff. Like, they have like these specific dreams.
Oh, I know. And they carry over into the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, like, but then what happened with me, like when I took the jester hat off, and I'd never done that, because I was always seen as like the likable guy that you could parachute in with any culture and I'd fit in and make them laugh and stuff, was the trans kid thing. Like, that's when I snapped out of that whole thing, because I was always more like libertarian looking at gay stuff and, you know, even like abortion, I never really thought about it. I was just like, oh yeah, if somebody's like raped, like, who are you to, you know, I just didn't
force
think
them
about
to have
it.
A
yeah,
baby.
Cause
yeah.
I'd never gotten anyone pregnant. I never thought about it. And I just couldn't believe that somebody would lie about that. Right. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And so saying a kid is trans was like, I was like, it was like a nightmare. I was like, no, this is like a nightmare. Like, a kid can't consent to anything. And trans implies sexuality. You know, I'm like, I play classical music and I own a pink shirt. Like, am I a girl? You know? Right. So I'm like, so what exactly is a girl? I'm like, so you're talking about like sexuality in a way, right? Like, you are a girl with female genitals now. And so as that started unfolding, I go to Twitter and I'm repped at CAA. You know, I'm like, I was like in those worlds. I was hosting, you know, award shows that honoring DiCaprio, and like I was in that realm.
Yes. It's a pretty overwhelming time in history, certainly in this country, and that's why prayer is more important than ever. Prayer keeps you connected with God, and it reduces stress. It puts your life and the world into perspective. Our friends at the Hallo app just launched their May prayer challenge. It's called the Detachment Challenge. It's about taking a step back and getting that perspective on the troubles of this world. That's not to suggest we should abandon our responsibilities here or care less. You should care more. But fundamentally, it means placing your faith in God. Work and hobbies matter, but they should not carry the full weight of your heart. Being more present with God is the only thing that matters, and it's what changes you and the world around you. Through simple daily prayer and reflection, you learn to trust God more deeply, find a kind of steadiness that does not depend on everything around you going right. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to show up and stay true to your faith. And Hallo helps you do that. Download Hallo and get 3 months for free at hallo.com/Tucker. It is absolutely the best.
I wasn't like a celebrity, but my picture was on the wall next to Chris Rock's. I was seen as like a strong craftsman at comedy. You know, I was writing sitcoms. I was a writer, and you know, and I was like, guys, this is actually like super evil. And I, so I'm publicly, I'm just like this one guy,
guys, this is super evil.
This one guy that was on NPR, he was like saying, he was saying her about his like 5 year old. And I started, and so he was like, people knew him and stuff. And I just started writing to him. I'm like publicly, I'm like, dude, you're totally abusing your kid. Right? Like, that's abuse. And then I just start going, I get tunnel vision, right? I'm just like, and so that started this whole thing. I had, I forgot to tell you, I'd already left LA because I had a child and I wanted to be around family. And my brother lived in Saranac Lake. And I knew I could do it there. I didn't need to be in a city. I didn't want to be in a place with dead people on the street. You know,
I'm yes. Like,
and so I was still at CAA. I was still getting deals and working on stuff, but I'm sure you know, you see the world differently when you actually live in real America.
Oh, totally different.
You know, like, oh man, like seeing like the vet that's actually fought the war and to see yes. The people on the fentanyl, you know what I mean? It's like,
it's a totally different experience.
It's like the Buddha first leaving the castle and seeing the, yeah, no, I literally totally felt that right. You know, in Hollywood, you just don't see it. They're just like, and then you're like, dude, no, we need guns to like kill a coyote that just killed my chickens. Like, you don't yes. Know what a chicken is, do you?
No. It doesn't begin life as a nugget. No.
Dude, people don't know where onions come from. It's insane. Dude, don't even get me started. So anyway, so I'm there. And so I start, this all starts happening. And I had like college tours booked. You know, I was about to do UConn. And looking back, you're way overpaid for that stuff. Like, I now realize that it's funny money coming from strange places, but like, my agent at CAA was like, they just canceled. And the next one just canceled. And they said, because I'm a man of hate, right? Because of the trans kid thing. And
on Twitter,
just from Twitter. Yeah. And so then my agent drops me.
Agent dropped you?
No, I was no longer at CAA. My manager also dropped me. Everyone just starts alienating themselves from me.
How did they explain that decision?
Well, I will shout out my manager. He was the one guy that didn't moralize it. He was just like, buddy, I don't know what to do, man. Like, all these guys are calling me. I'm like, okay. Versus like, what you've done is just so evil. I'm like, bro, I've seen you do ketamine on a toilet. Like, like, you're not going to judge me, man. And I'm like, kids are innocent. Like, I know children are innocent. Same with the abortion thing. As soon as my wife, her belly started growing, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, that's a life, man. Right?
Yes.
So all these things starts changing. And so I'm like, okay, you know,
did you actually get a moral lecture from a CIA agent?
I got it from like all these people. Like, people, I won't even say any names because I just like to avoid that stuff. But people are texting me like, what did you do? Because people in like writers' rooms and like high up circles are like basically saying like, Owen's out. Like, it was like boom, boom, boom. Like, people that I've been in their wedding where I had to wear a freaking yarmulke to be at the wedding are calling me a man of hate, right? And I'm like, guys, it's me. And I thought it was this horrible misunderstanding. And so some people, I actually got a lot of support, even from a lot of like the neocon type. And so that's like, so that kind of tribe picked me up, you know, like the Dennis Pragers and all those guys.
You must have felt like your life was falling apart. It was falling apart. But
the irony, though, and this is the theme of the whole thing, is I'm with my brother. I'm doing tree work. Like a veteran that had, like, you know, killed a lot of people was like, we called it treehab because he got off opiates, like doing hard work, you know, like toiling, as we were talking about. And my life is actually going great, but I still think it's going horrible. Right?
Yes.
Like, I'm feeling, you know, we just got a chicken. Like, I can't believe, like, my son, like, I'm looking at this miracle. Me and my wife are close, but yet I've lost everything. And that's such a spell, right? Like, think about it. Like, think about people that have had horrible thoughts of, like, you know, like despair. I've lost everything, but it's like dollars, right? And I know that sucks, but breath, taste, your love, like, you've lost nothing. You know what I mean? And so the dead wood just started burning, and all these, and out of nowhere, like, I thought I was, you know, dying on a hill, and all these people just came and supported, right? And I was like, wow. And so I still tour, and I start renting theaters. I'm like, I don't need anyone to book my theaters. You know, I'm like, let's do this. And then they started all canceling.
Independent theaters.
Independent theaters. So this is what, so it was like, oh, the free market. I was like, oh no, like, I can sell out. I've never been accused of a misdemeanor, right? Like, what did I, the trans kid thing, but it, like, the word had went out, like, you got to start going at this dude's pocketbook. And so now I'm like, I'm working more with the neocon types because they're willing.
Can I just ask you a question? Who do you, I mean, this is an organized effort against you.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is not organic. Who was organizing it? Do you know?
I mean, I have some theories.
But you don't actually know for sure?
I know the motivations. Every time I think I know for sure, it switches a little. So now I try to not, it's not because I'm like worried to say, I can't really figure it out. It's almost like a swarm.
Yes.
It's like a behavior where they're signaling. That sounds even crazier, but.
No, I've seen it. No,
yeah. It's like a behavior, like a fractal.
Yes.
And there's no one really in charge.
Right. It's like a conspiracy of like-minded temperament.
Cause like from my background, I'm like, who did this to me?
Yes.
There's no one there. Because who would really do that? It's like a collective evil.
Yes.
And everyone's just doing their little thing with their behavior, and it's all based on these spells. And so it took me a little while to figure that out, because at first I'm like, it's the Democrats. And then it's like, oh, it's the this, it's the that. I went through the Muslim thing. Oh, the Muslims.
Yeah. Funny. China. It's CCP. China.
Oh, yeah, man. It's these damn Chinese people. It made my phone, you know, I'm like, all these contradictions. And then I realized, you know, it's like, it's the Jews, but I know this cool Jew, right? And then I had to come up with a term called deli Jews, you know, the one that take all the blame, even though they're like nice and they're just kind of complaining about their broken air conditioner. You know, I'm like, who is it? And then I'm like, it's a behavior. It's a spirit. It got me much more like actually faithful.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because I was like, I don't have conventional ways of describing this. So then I start working with more the traditional conservative types.
Are you melting down emotionally at this point? I mean, you moved to LA from upstate New York.
I have a huge chip on my shoulder, and I'm very defensive.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm like, looking back, the things that I would change, I don't want to change anything because it all led to this, to that, to that. But like, if it was me now, I would know that I wasn't in the danger I thought I was, and people weren't actually as threatening, because I would see people as like a threat to me, like, you're trying to destroy me.
Yes.
And so I would react.
Oh, I've been there.
I would react emotionally and react more like personally. And now I'm just like, dude, that's when the power of forgiveness stuff is so real, where you're like, oh man, like, that sucks where you're at, you know?
Yes.
And so that is that was me melting down, where it was like, emotional.
Yes.
But looking back, I'm never like, we have to kill people or none of that stuff. Like, zero. I was actually getting less into alcohol. Like, because I felt like it was a weakness. Like, because the Hollywood, in my hometown, like, the culture is just, you just drink to land the plane, you know?
Yeah.
And now I'm doing these live streams and I realized that, because I was always like a happy drink guy. Like I wasn't the dark drinker guy.
Yeah.
I was always like, my first special was called High Five Till It Hurts, right? I was that guy.
Yeah.
But like I could tell that it would make me a little less aware of what I'm doing and that I could feel like shame after from like going off too hard on someone. They could like use that emotion. And so I actually start, my personal life is getting better, which was crazy. But it looks like I'm losing everything at the same time. And so now I'm on like this genuine truth journey and I'm, you know, I'm really thinking about, did I lose Jester's privilege because I took the trans thing so seriously? But now I'm taking a lot of time. I'm like, guys, like family is wealth. Like this is crazy the way this is going. I see, you know, the Sackler family, I call out. I got a strike for hate speech because of that.
The Sackler family who owned Purdue Pharma.
Right. Back then, before the Netflix special, people didn't know, because I'm the who guy. Who's doing it? And my friend, you know, that vet I told you about died. And it was like so sad.
How?
Opiates, you know, despair. It's despair is the sin. Despair is, that's why like there's people I'll go at. I'm like, if you spread despair, you're basically poisoning people, you know? And so.
That is such a wise thing. I've done a lot of despair spreading and I regret it.
Oh, me too. Yeah. But see, telling the truth can come off as despair, but it's still good. Like I like when you do this stuff about who's doing what and what's going on.
Yeah, but I think it can be too much. I mean, it bums me out. So I, you know, we're commanded not to despair.
Exactly.
Not to fear.
Exactly. There, that's when like that principle, like those fundamentals kick in, where there's been times where I'm like, but I know like despair is a sin. Like that's like spitting in the face of a gift, right?
Yes.
And it's like, cause that's how I feel about suicide. I'm like, that's the greatest, like, that's so awful. It's like you're created, you're given all of this and you're just getting rid of it. Like, it's like someone, like your wife making you a beautiful dinner and you're just like, that'd be insane.
It's the same impulse though.
Yeah.
So you get mad and you smash something.
Yeah. You're like, I don't want it. It's like, no, it's a gift. It's beautiful. And that comes from like shame and all this stuff, you know? So I'm figuring all this stuff out. And then, cause the trans kid thing was why a lot of these neocon types gravitated towards me. And then I was like, guys, you're never going to guess where the pharmaceutical company is. It's this little country called Israel. Right. And they're like, yeah, it doesn't really matter where it is. And I'm like, what's going on, guys? Cause I didn't even know what the deal was. I'm like, who cares? You know, it's like, why does that matter? Like, we can't talk about that. And then I'm like, oh, you guys have your own little spells you're doing.
Cost of living is already making it hard to live here, and it's not getting any better. Unfortunately, it's likely to get worse, and a lot of Americans fill the gap with credit cards, not just for fancy dinners, but to cover things like groceries and bills. That is a disaster. It's understandable, but don't go down that road, because there is a tax, in effect, a survival tax of 20% interest or more. Why would you do that? Why would you hand money to the big banks when you could keep it for your family? Our friends at American Financing have a better way. If you're looking to buy your first home or refinance your current one, they're helping Americans achieve the dream of homeownership with monthly mortgage rates currently in the fives. American Financing saves its customers an average of $800 per month. That's nearly 10 grand every year back to you. This isn't just a loan, it's a total financial reset. So debt is tough, but there's a smart way to do it and a reckless, self-destructive way to do it, credit cards. And so we recommend American Financing. They're salary-based, not commission-based, which means they actually work for you, not the banks. They're called America's Home for Home Loans for a reason. Call 800-685-5696, 800-685-5696, or visit AmericanFinancing.net/Tucker.
And it's not like I'm some martyr. I can't do comedy without truth. Like, I would lose the tether to my job.
Yes.
You know, like even without, I was never like, look at me, I'm saving the children. Like I was like, if I don't stay in reality, I can't bounce the joke off of anything and I will crumble and be humiliated.
Yes, that's true.
I've seen it over and over again. That's why you got to stay grounded, because like fame and money, it's just energy, right? It's not good or bad. It's just energy. And if you don't ground that, like people go absolutely insane. It's like, you know,
you've seen that.
Over and over and over again in Hollywood. Like you'll see these funny comics, they'll get these huge amounts of money, they get in debt, that's like the major thing, and then that's what makes them a slave. Because
wait, they get a huge amount of money, but they also get in debt?
Exactly. Like let's say you get $1 million, they would get like a $8 million house with the mortgage. And so then they feel they have to go along with all these evil things or else they'll lose everything. Because I kept seeing it because I'm like, I know they're not wicked. You know, there's a difference between sin and wickedness, like, yes, like weakness, which we all have, cookies, emotions.
And, I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah, cookie, totally.
Cookies and emotions, actually. And wickedness, nicely put.
Yeah, and like wickedness is the hatred of beauty, like wanting to destroy innocence, blow up a dome, right? Like that's, yes, wicked, where you're like, you hate God versus like, man, I got hammered and just freaked out again. You know, that's different because you know what is true and false.
Yes.
So to lose the tether of what is true and false is to like go, it's like the callous, like where you don't feel the spirit anymore. And that to me was my nightmare. So I'm like, I can't do that. So that's why I left my brother's town, because I do this big, big special. Everyone's pumped. All the locals are like, man, this is epic. We can do comedy right here. But it was like 900 people in the town. My special had like 1,000. So that's very intimidating to local principalities, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, guys, I don't. And so one lady wanted me to apologize for a joke and I wouldn't do it. And people are like, my brother's friends are like, come on, man, just apologize. Like, you know, and I get it. Like when you're like an alpha male in a region, it's like, come on, like keep everyone happy.
Of course.
And I totally understand that. I'm like, guys, I can't apologize though, because I'm not sorry. And I'm like, you know, I'm not stubborn. Like I'll roll with anything, but like, then my apology doesn't mean anything and I need that.
Yes.
Like if I apologize, I am sorry, which I do. But if I'm not sorry, then that's a form of usury and then it doesn't mean anything, right? Like I love that I can tell my wife I'm sorry and she knows. Like if she doesn't believe me, then my life spirals, you know? And so,
yes.
And so at that point, so we had to leave that town and it was more just like a mercy, you know? I'm like, this can't really work, because I was like affecting, you know, my brother's life and you know, and so we went to where my wife's family is, and so that worked out better. Because at that
what point, is your wife saying at this point? So she marries you, you're this on the rise successful, yeah, Hollywood guy,
yeah, yeah,
she has your baby,
yeah,
and you get canceled and then you have to, you're on your third town.
Yeah, well, that's when you realize your wife loves you.
Yes.
You know, because you never really know as things are going up.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah, it's the same with debt. It's like, was it Warren Buffett or something? When the tide goes out, you see who's wearing their underpants.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so at that point, I'm like, wow, you really do love me, right? Because she's ride or die. I mean, she'll get like, if she's upset, it's because of something real. Right.
Yes.
Like, because I'm bringing my outdoor friends inside with a lot of PTSD. Right. So, you know, and it's because they're like yelling at 2 a.m. It's not, you know what I mean? And so that's totally understandable. That's why we came up with outdoor friends.
Because
I'm hanging out with like a ton of vets at this point. Right. And they're great guys, but like, you know, wild swings.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I saw like a psychic wound, like a moral wound, what that looks like, where at one moment you're like, we have to like turn the Middle East to glass, like they're proud of their skill. And then on another moment, it's like, man, they're like, just like us. They like have families, and, you know, and that chasm causes so much pain.
Yes,
and
that's, it does.
And dude, that's where the like forgiveness is so important.
And you see them ping ponging back and forth.
That's the pain, right? Yeah. That's why I would like make fun of vets and non-vets. You know, a lot of these, you know, people in NGOs and are like, how dare you attack our vets? I'm like, they're finally laughing.
Yeah.
Because I would do this thing on Veterans Day. I'd be like, haven't you guys had enough? You know, I'm like, we give you so much. You know, I'm like, if you really left it on the field, it would be Memorial Day. And they're just laughing because they get idolized by, yeah, the people starting the wars.
Exactly.
Right. And I know that
in the most false way.
Yeah. And that's me as a comedian. Anytime people are like, man, you're like so awesome. I'm like, I'm not. I'm good at this one thing, but I have a spotlight, so you think that, but please don't treat me like that. Like, I'm, yeah, not an idol. Because that's a form of punishment, too, the pit and the pedestal.
Of course.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize that the pedestal's torturous, you know?
You don't allow any flattery in your vicinity.
Exactly.
Ever.
Exactly.
Ever. When the Pharisees come, when they're about to kill Jesus, the trick is they go in there like, you're such a good guy. You only tell the truth. Like they flatter him.
Yeah. I mean, people tell me, you're the reason I had a kid. I'm like, all praise to God. That's a protection.
Yes.
Because if you're the reason for the good, you're also the reason for the bad.
Fair.
And it's like, we're not gods, right? So it's like, that's the road, like that's a horrifying road. And so many people, like narcissism is that. It's like truth comes from their emotions, and that's why you're seeing so much lying now.
Can you explain that a little more fully?
Yeah, like my motto is I might be wrong, but I'm not lying.
Yes. That's my motto also, actually. I love that.
Dude, one of the most amazing things I saw you do, and this is not flattery, this is just a fact, is when you said you were wrong about the Iraq war.
Yeah.
Because that is, it's rare though. That establishes truth is outside of you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's rare. A lot of people, they're like, I might be lying, but I'm not wrong. Right? Because they're like, oh no, it turns out that was all wrong, but I was still right because it's me. Like I saw that in physics, because I had a physics podcast at Caltech with my buddy who's a nuclear physicist. And dark matter, I couldn't stop laughing when I realized it. So they have these gravitational equations. And when it wasn't matching anything, they said, oh, there's dark matter. And I'm like, what's that? They're like 95% of the universe you can't see or measure. And it's like most of the gravity. And I'm like, how do you know it exists? They're like, I swear to God. They're like, because if not, we'd be wrong. And I'm like, so you can't measure it? They're like, no. That dark matter, but it's there. I'm like, how do you know? They're like, because if not, then this is wrong. Like Vox Day, who published that, he did a book of breaking down the math of evolution is so bad, because he's like one of those super geniuses. Vox is a great guy. And it's so bad, like the actual math of it, like how, you know, just read the book, probability zero. It's like how long would it take for things to permeate, like a mutation to permeate to the actual population? And when you see how completely ridiculous it is, I think they have trauma where they're like, well, it can't be that, or else like I put a square on my head and brag to everyone and my life is a lie, right? Like the guy that changed your oil is actually smarter than you, right?
Oh yes.
Well, that's when the shame kicks in, where they're like, I called all these people deplorable mouth breeders. I tried to eliminate their population, and it turns out like they're way better at things.
Yes.
When I found that out, I was like, wow, these guys are great. Right? It's like, that's the difference. It's like, you might feel some pain of pride. We have to make some phone calls, right? Because I've been right wrong about a million things.
Me too.
But it's like, I like being wrong, because I'm like, oh, it's usually better than I thought.
Always.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's such a burden lifted.
Oh,
because you don't have to pretend.
I hate when it's out. Yeah, because when something's wrong out there, it's like rippling out. And I'm trying to help people not ripple it out, right? It's almost like a disease.
Yes. And you're stopping the spread.
Yeah, really. Stopping the spread. You know, safe and effective.
Which is another claim that they couldn't walk back because their pride hung on it.
Imagine, but the spell is safe. For who and effective at what?
Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah, the assumptions is how they get, you know, the more honor-based Anglo-Saxon Germanic type cultures.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, it can't be that. No one's that crazy, right?
Right.
Yeah. No. We don't like ask the follow-up question of
it's
like—
It's too dark.
It's too dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the chutzpah culture, which can be very funny, where it's like, you'll never guess this loophole I figured out. You know,
yeah.
We can redefine a word and get all these free pencils.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but that's— Like the way I like to describe it is there's two ways to win a race. You either run faster or you get the other guy slower.
Yeah.
Right? It's like my house is now nice because I blew up the pretty house.
Yeah. So most people don't wake up in the morning and decide to feel horrible, exhausted, foggy, disconnected from themselves. But it does happen, and it happens slowly. You're working hard, you're showing up, and then your energy disappears by midday. Your focus is dull. Your weight won't move. A lot of people are told that's just getting old. That's what it is. But that's not actually true. For many men and women, these are not personal failures. They are signals tied to your metabolism, your hormones, and nutrient imbalances that go undetected for years. You don't even know you're deficient. And that's why we're happy to partner with Joy and Blokes, a company that was built for people who are all done guessing and ready to figure out what exactly is going on. And that starts with comprehensive lab work and a one-on-one consultation with a licensed clinician. An actual human being explains what's happening inside you and builds a personalized plan, which includes hormone optimization, peptide therapy, targeted supplements. So don't settle. Go to joyandblokes.com/Tucker. Use the code Tucker for 50% off your lab work and 20% off all supplements. That's joyandblokes.com/Tucker. Use the code Tucker. 50% off labs. 20% off supplements. Join Blokes. Get your edge back. Yeah. It's like the famous Russian proverb about, you know, that the peasants are given cows and the first thing they do is you go kill your neighbor's cow.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a behavior. That's why I don't isolate it to one identity. That's why I say like grabbler or something.
Yeah.
Because I see it in all populations.
Yes.
I actually think it's a trap to say that like all evil disseminates from one group. That's like one of the classics, the identity trap.
Yes.
Because I see that with like a lot of the white guy stuff. I'm like, no, I don't want to be defined by like we need more of an arbitrary thing, but we're still just going for greatness. It's like, right? Like I see that with like, it's of course, but so many people are falling for this. It's like, oh no, we just have to get all whites. I'm like, no, we need all competent, good moral. And if there's more of one group, that's fine. Right?
Of course. Yeah. Well, it's absurd. It's exculpatory. That's why people love it. Cause it's like, I'm on the winning team no matter what.
And I was telling that to one of my, like, I know I have an Israeli listener and we're laughing. Cause I'm like, you guys remind me of American Indian tribes I grew up with where it's like our nation, right or wrong. I'm like, that doesn't go well.
No, it doesn't.
Cause you have to go for greatness or else it becomes very, you know, you can't trust each other. And he was laughing. He's like, it's so true, man. It's like very tribal, you know? I'm like, dude, all the natives I know, they're all like, they're drinking mouthwash, man. They're not doing great.
No, I shouldn't laugh. No,
it's true. I've come across my whole life. Like these are like close friends of mine, some of the best athletes in the world. And then they just start drinking mouthwash. And I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, but that's despair, right?
It is,
that's what, yes. Yeah. Cause you can always get out. And so.
So you wind up with the, you're taken in by, when you say the neocons, like news organizations, websites, like.
Yeah. Like the more Daily Wire crowd and Knowles and all, and Powder and all those guys. And I still have a soft spot for Knowles. I think he's pretty, you know.
Knowles? I like Knowles.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. It's just the Ben Shapiro's eyebrows, really. I mean, it's just been getting a little intense.
Very.
Yeah.
Are those real?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Prosthetic eyebrows. I've never heard of that.
That's some dark trolling.
Yeah. No.
Like imagine just putting, I mean, he never had those eyebrows and now he has them. Like you don't just grow more eyebrows.
No,
right?
No. And the thickness of them, unless there's like some kind of propecia or something on there.
Unless someone close to him is putting Rogaine on his eyebrows.
Yeah.
That would be pretty funny though.
No, it wouldn't shock me, but it's the whole thing is weird.
So weird.
So you wind up in that world.
Yeah. And so, because I was so happy that they were willing to say the things that Hollywood wouldn't say.
Yes, of course.
So
me too.
Like seeing Crowder pray at a meal, like blew my mind. I was like, because I was just like so into that gratitude because I love that stuff. Like in Hollywood, I even texted Vaughn this morning about, he was the one being like, have kids and he made it funny. And that really motivated me, you know, because there's no voices in Hollywood telling people to have kids. It's always get a bigger house, have more sex partners. You know, get a bigger deal, have a better car. And Vince is like, baby, you gotta start making accounts. Stop pulling out like a coward, you know? And I'm like, okay. And then every Father's Day, I'm like, dude, that was so cool you did that.
Really? Yeah. Vince Vaughn convinced you to have kids?
Yeah, and because it was always there. I like strong paternal leaders. Like I'm not this like hyper, it's always me guy. I like teams. I'm real big on like a guy I can look up to.
Yes.
And so that's why in a world without heroes, this swarm hates heroes. They hate inspiration. That's why they don't like architecture, right?
Yes.
Because it makes you feel hope. You're like, oh, wow, that's beautiful. Tomorrow will be a better day. They're like, oh, we gotta burn that down.
Yeah.
Literally. And it's sad, right? It's like, that's why it doesn't get me angry now. Cause I'm like, imagine, like, I see my kids that they can have like one bouncing ball. They can have so much joy. And I know people, and I'm sure you do too, like on a giant yacht on all these designer drugs being praised and they're thinking about jumping off the yacht.
Yes. I know many people. Like
and
that.
They get, and in their, like, if I was going to defend them, I would say what they're thinking is I've sacrificed so much. I've worked so hard. I've humiliated myself. And that dude on a pontoon boat is so much happier.
Yeah.
Why? Right. And then they get mad at God. And that's why that's that fractal where it's like, God is wrong. And so once they start realizing that the grand plan is the good plan, all these like little things started not scaring me, you know, and I'll have stresses and all that.
Little
stuff.
Things like being bankrupted.
Yeah, no. And then like to continue the story. So after that, things got way crazier.
Really?
Yeah.
After you got rescued by the Daily Wire crowd.
Yeah, when I started being like, yeah, because I started seeing that certain identities can be liability shields when you're selling opioids, you know?
Yeah.
And same with the sex abuse stuff in Hollywood. I was pointing out people and I didn't even put it together. And someone called me an anti-Semite. And I was like, what do you mean? That's like, I didn't even think about that. That's why I did a whole tour called Height Supremacist. Because I was like, I could do that with height, right? Like,
yes.
Oh, only, you know, Hail Heitler and stuff. And so that comedy.
You're 6'8". I should say that people who can't tell.
And so I was like dramatizing that. Like, I could do that with anything. Like, no, I'm talking about the behavior, right? Like, imagine if it's like, oh, you're just mad at 5'10 guys. No, it's a behavior. And so that, I get kicked off PayPal. I get kicked off Airbnb. Like in my
Airbnb.
Yeah, because they want to take out your income.
Oh, so you had a rental property?
I had a rental because I'm like a I just keep going. Like I'm pretty upbeat. You know, it's like, oh, I can't tour now, so I'll do tree work with my brother, and I'll rent out this house, and we'll fix it up, and we'll learn about construction and all this stuff. And so I got a letter from Airbnb that you know, I couldn't be on anymore because I was mocking the victims of sexual assault. You know, the joke was, so the Me Too movement comes out and I do a joke with dramatic irony where I'm like, yeah, so I'm in LA and I go to this, one of these parades and I'm like, ladies, you might want to think of a different slogan. And it's like, well, what do you mean? And so I do this long drawn out thing and I'm like, pound Me Too. And so the whole joke is that I think it's a pound sign and the joke's on me. Like I'm the dumb guy, right?
Yeah.
So they said that I was mocking victims and I'm like, no, they're laughing because this Me Too thing is like using them for their agenda.
Exactly.
Like I'm making fun of the wizard and the wizards are the ones that get mad. Like the people that hate conspiracy theorists are conspirators, right? It's so simple. It's like, man,
Just because I don't know, people watch these on double speed. I want to repeat what you said because it's so worth. The people who hate conspiracy theories are the conspirators.
Yes,
that is so good.
It's so true too. It's like, why else would you hate conspiracy theories? It's like, man, this conspiracy theorist. I'm like, you wouldn't happen to be currently doing a conspiracy, would you?
I don't know why that's never occurred to me. This now, the IQ gap is becoming.
It's not even IQ. I'm just always around kids and animals.
So am I. Well, animals at this point. That's so. Like, so I'm sorry. I keep interrupting you. Okay, so
no, I love it.
So, how long did you remain in that world, in the Daily Wire adjacent world?
Well, I was like writing for Crowder for a while. And yeah, it was more like they would start getting weird with me when I'd ask questions about why we're not hanging on the moon. I'd love to go up there one day. You know, it's like those things, because I realized that that's their sacred cow. You know, so Hollywood has abortion and all that stuff. And so I'm like, no, it's just, you're tolerant of all that stuff. Like I said, Barack Obama stole my bike. And they're like, oh, that's clearly funny, the left, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, but I just did this joke about the size of someone's hat. And now you're offended. I'm like, oh, so you have like a team. I'm like, I almost felt like a Middle Ages executioner where I couldn't live in the village. You know, I'm like, I'm not on any of your teams, man. I can't, because as soon as I do, I will lose the tether. I can't be a comedian.
Yes.
Like the comedian, and I'm not against politics. I understand institutions, they have to maintain that. They can't be like me. Like I just roam, you know?
Yes.
And so I learned that over the years where I respect how, like, you know, religious institutions, political institutions, they have to maintain their order.
Yes.
I can't be in one of those because of, as soon as I see something, if I don't like do the joke, then I lose I lose the whole thing. And so I'm like, I'm just going to be like in the woods picking up rocks.
But okay. So at what point did you decamp for the woods to pick up rocks?
Well, the whole time I was slowly just, oh, that's a funny story. So we go to where my wife's family is, and that's much better because I learned the lesson, don't do stand up where you live.
Right.
Right.
Fair.
Yeah, because I didn't know. I'm like, oh, this will be my job. And now I'm like, the whole thing is family. So I have these kids. I don't want them to be like Owen Benjamin's kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want you to like have great relationships with everybody. And because a lot of times it's not even people that are offended. It's just power freaks people out, you know,
yes.
Where they just will look at them and be like, you know, how can I, you know, I just wanted them to have their life.
Yeah.
So I just stopped doing, I didn't do any stand up in that area. I will profile and that's great. And then COVID kicks in. right? And so from the beginning, I mean, I did a joke about Ebola in 2017 where I was like, OJ Simpson's killed more people than Ebola. Like, I'm just doing jokes like that. Yeah. Just to lower fear. And I'm not a virologist, but I'm like, guys, I have 16 friends that have died of opioids. Can we ease up on the strange African situation? You know, I'm like, despair is killing everyone, but sure, let's watch Outbreak again. Like, yeah. This is ridiculous. And I know a lot about mind control stuff. And that's why I wouldn't give 1 inch, you know, with the mask. I wouldn't wear a mask. And again, it's like apologizing for a joke. They're like, just wear the mask. Like, come on. And I'm like, that's the start of it, right? That's the dehumanizing start. And then it's the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, right? It's like that Star Trek episode, like how many lights? And he has to say the wrong answer. Remember that one?
Of course.
There are 3 lights. And he was about to get rescued and they were trying to create this thing of despair. And so I was like, and in that area where my wife is from was like very bougie type people that was like, everyone was wearing a mask, you know, and we had a community of like-minded people and they were falling for all of it. And I'm like, guys, like, you know, cause from the beginning, I thought it was to cancel the Olympics. I'm like, maybe it's a debt thing with Japan. Like I never thought it was a valid thing because of how it was being presented.
Yes.
You know, it's like you get a free vax with donuts. I'm like, that's not a health thing. No. You know, I'm like, Bill Gates, you don't want to take health advice from a guy who gets awards for lowering the world population.
Yeah, no, fair.
And that's why I got so to platform, because these simple questions just annihilate these spells. Like, you're born gay. I'm like, so there are gay babies? And that alone, everyone's like, think about a gay, there's no gay babies. Like, that's a crazy thought. And so then you're like, oh, maybe it does have to do with like grooming and trauma and all this stuff. And then you start being like, and you don't need to be defined by your sin and then work on it. Like, imagine if I was a cookie, I'm a cookie guy, right? Like I can't stop eating the cookies, right? It's like, they're saying your sin is good and that's your identity. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Cause I make fun of,
you should have pride.
Pride in it.
The first of the deadly sins.
And I wasn't a hypocrite. Like when guys talk like that about women, I'm like, that's like, you're like a gay straight guy, right? When it's like, oh, I just got another chick and this chick and this chick. I'm like, how about you start like a legacy, like children? I'm like, that's not good what you're doing. Like that's an indulgence, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why a lot of gay people privately are like, I like that you're not, because a lot of them are motivated by how hypocritical people can be. Where they're like, how dare you, gay guy? But yet they're like, you know, using women for sex as if they're nothing and like throwing them away and all
yes.
that stuff. And so the fact that I was just like, I had a principle, a lot of gay guys were like, man, I like that you're like that. Because they were seeing that they were being used by Target and all this stuff. And so it's so interesting behind the scenes how many people are actually not mad. It's yes, like this illusion.
Yes, I totally agree. I've experienced that my whole life.
Yeah.
Like they called me a racist for, you know, I don't know, a decade or something, white supremacist. I never had a single black person get up in my face.
Never.
Not one time. And never. Not airport, sidewalk, never one time. It was only angry white ladies. It was interesting. And you begin to realize, like, I don't know, I'm not an expert on like black public opinion, but no one's ever, not one time.
That's the been mad. That's the devil's joke. It's like, I became more racial because of black rooms. Like I didn't want to talk about race. I want to talk relationships, dogs, piano. Like
yeah,
I was
yeah.
that guy. And I do Cleveland 90% black on a Wednesday where there's like, gangsters there, and if I showed weakness, I was dead.
Yeah.
So like I learned that, and then I learned like the humor. Like if you make I've made fun of gangbangers for having diamond earrings, calling them princesses. They're dying laughing. We hang out after. They're telling me white people are created on an island, and so we're like laughing, right? Like there's nothing there, and then these like white ladies are like, oh, how dare you? They're like, they're actually dehumanizing black people. They're like, they don't understand jokes. They're like, you give them a banana and a pat on the head. No, it's so crazy. And I thought I was going crazy. I'm like,
they don't understand.
They
can't
like
have
that.
Driver's licenses. It's too complicated.
Oh, they don't understand layers. They're simple people. Give them a rhythm. Yeah, because you're robbing them of it. And dude, a lot of black comedy is the funniest because it's like, it's got that honor aggression to it.
Yeah. Wait, could you define that, honor aggression?
Yeah, like you're attacking weaknesses in others versus like attacking beauty.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, look at this dude. This dude. And then you're just like, you know, like, who do you think you are with these pants type thing, right? Because you're attacking vanity.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I relate to that. That's why I would relate to some like Middle Eastern culture, because it's a Bedouin thing. Same with Scottish people are like that too.
Exactly.
Right.
You've named some of the cultures I feel most comfortable
in. Yeah. Because it's like your herd will travel. So you have to carry yourself properly everywhere you go versus just a square that like daddy manages. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Because like that's how herding cultures survive. It's like your honor, your word allows, or else it's constant war, you know?
Yes.
That's why like comedians have to have honor culture, because we travel and it's like you have to have your word with the new people or else you'll not be able to make them laugh.
Huh.
And so, yeah, I do like, I just get out of El Paso. I'm like making fun of Hispanic crowds. I'm doing that. And then I'm just getting these lectures from these ivory tower buffoons. And so my thing was not just yelling at them, you know, because I would be like, you're so wrong. It's infuriating. You know what I mean? It's like saying that this is an elephant. You know, it's like hiring a mechanic and then lecturing them and then your car explodes and then blaming them. Yeah, right. And then kicking them off YouTube because your car exploded. Like, it's like, what? And so this whole time I have to keep building alternatives because I'm now off PayPal. So now they're like, oh, well, why don't you just rent your own theater if you don't have CAA anymore? I'm like, great idea. And then I'll just sell tickets myself. PayPal kicks me off. I'm like, why? And that's why they had to get me off Twitter and stuff first, because I couldn't tell, like, they didn't want me to be able to tell the villagers.
So, I mean, I've seen this happen to other people, not really as comprehensively as it happened to you.
No, because my audience was so big and I was so early that they were like, this has to stop, like, immediately. Because yeah. I wasn't political. I was like a child being like, wait a minute, you know? And they're like, that's the thing that actually can dismantle stuff. Because if you come from a tribe, people can just assume you're just doing it because blah, blah, blah.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
And it was like almost impossible with me. They're like, you're just doing it for clicks. I'm like, I can't even get clicks. Right? I'm like, I'm not on YouTube. And that's why it always backfires. Because they kicked me off YouTube like years ago. Now I probably wouldn't even get, they've like opened it up more, you know?
Are you not on YouTube?
Still not on YouTube. Yeah, I did my own ladle.tv, $9.11 a month. Never forget. No, because I had to. They're like, I've went down roads where I was getting kicked off server farms and stuff. It got, yeah, and that's
were what, you calling for violence?
Never once. No, like they would put in writing, like it was the Me Too joke. That's why they stopped even saying what it was, because it would be so obvious. Like Barack Obama stole, or another one was, David Hogg can't tell me not to have guns. He can't grow pubes. They said I was sexualizing a child, and that was what I got banned from Twitter for.
Meanwhile, that child was trying to change federal law.
Well, yeah, because I know liability shields. They're like, they use children to try and do their thing and say, you can't attack a child. I'm like, and my whole thing was, you're not a man. Like, you can't grow. If I'd said chest hair, they would have said I was sexualizing a chest. Like, they have to just demonize. And so my whole thing was like, why are people believing this? And it's because they just wanted, they were dependent, right? They just didn't want to lose that drip.
Yes.
And so that's why I think guys like us have been kind of set free.
Oh, yes.
It was like, don't throw me in the briar patch, right?
Yeah.
It's like, and I didn't know it at the time, but like, I've realized that I didn't lose everything, you know, it's like an illusion. And so then it became like, don't let anyone.
But you actually did lose everything. You lost everything.
In their world, I got kicked out of a gay bar.
Yeah.
Imagine it's like, oh, you can't be at our gay bar anymore. And I'm like, but that's the only bar I know. I mean, I'm not pumped everyone's gay, but that's my, you know, Johnny's in the corner in the jukebox, you know, Wham. I'm not a big fan, but like I'll dance to it. And then they kick you out and you're like, oh my God, I can just go somewhere else. I go to another bar where they're not gay. And then I realize I don't want to go to a bar. Right? Because that's the trap. That's why the despair. I'm always like, guys, they're doing an illusion. It's wizardry. Like they're not winning because it's the Wizard of Oz. Like you, it's this big illusion and it's not real, you know? That's why.
Okay.
So I had to. I had to.
Yeah, no, you could have gone crazy.
No, I loved my wife. I love my son. Like I felt duty.
Yeah.
That was it. Cause I think about that. I'm like, cause that does sound pretty cool. Like that I did that, but it's like, and I'm not that guy. I'm like, not like the guy that's first on TikTok, right? I'm not that like ambitious with the new thing or anything. Like I can autistically focus on piano scales and comedy. And it was cause I couldn't let them down. And that actually gave me a lot of love. Cause I was like, I was a bit nihilistic, never despairish, but I didn't know what I deserve. But my son, I was like, he's good, you know?
Yes.
And then I was like, we were all that, right? And then I started, my life started changing. I was like, I'm not like a virus on the planet. Like I'm not, you know, like we're like stewards of this, but like all the, so many biblical principles I saw in reality happening. I'm like, he's good. Like, and as he kept growing and then my other sons, I'm like, they don't start bad. I'm like, he's not hurting any. I'm like, and so my protect, I'm very protective of others.
Yes.
Way more than myself.
Me too.
And, but I've learned to be more protective of myself. Like I'm feeding my dog organic food and I'm eating goyslop, you know, it's like, and I'm like, why? I just spent more on my dog's food. I'm like, cause I'm the guy that's trying to protect. I'm like, but we're good too. And then I that's what did it. And I am smart and work hard. So like, because I was motivated by loving them, I could just innovate, you know, cause if it wasn't for that, I would just.
But how do you continue to think clearly and not become obsessed with hatred toward the people who are oppressing you?
The community that was forming around me too, like people that I was meeting that were so cool.
Yeah.
You know, like I'd be at these Hollywood parties where everyone's famous and everyone's just trying to find a drug or something, you know? And I'm like, I'm seeing these musicians. I thought music sucked. And I'm meeting these musicians that are awesome. They just are fixing cabinets or they're like, you know, they're like normal guys, but the art didn't die. And then I realized after being kicked out of theaters and clubs that comedy can exist anywhere. And I was like starting to see that the world's, I'd still get pissed off. The thing that would piss me off the most are despair guys.
Yeah.
Like as I'm trying to help, they're trying to tear me down. Like I'm not just going to go at like a guy for being a sad little gay guy or something. Right?
Right.
But like, if they're trying to, like, if I'm trying to like rescue a drowning guy and they're like, he's drowning him. I'm like, you have to stop now. I'm now attacking you. You know,
were people doing that to you?
Yeah. And I thought it was on the, just going to be the left with hate speech. And then I'd see people like, and you know, like people like a Nick Fuentes or guys like that, like they secretly go at people that try to inspire.
Like explain that.
Cause people sometimes would wonder like, why are you attacking him? You know, like, what are you a Jew? Are you a secret Jew? You know, I'm like, no, he's spreading despair. Like he's saying
Fuentes is.
Yeah. Like that having a family's gay, don't work out, you know? And then he would like come at me and like make fun of me for saying, get goats and grow a tomato, you know? And I'm like, man, like stop with that. Cause it affects people, like people that look, cause you'll say base things like Fuentes will be really funny and like,
yes,
you know, Jesus and all this stuff. And young kids are dying to hear that.
Yes.
And then he'll be like, yeah. And how hot are like cats? And I'm, you know, and I'm just like, dude. And so that would bother, like that bothers me, right?
Why do you think he does that?
I don't even want to know at this point. I don't know.
But you think it's an intentional, and maybe not just him, others too, but like
it's a behavior. That's where I'm at now is I'm like, I don't know who gives orders. I don't know what it is. It's just like God made a mistake.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's victim consciousness. It's like, I deserve more than I currently have.
Yes.
That's all it is. And it's like, whether it's, you want to be taller or less gay. I'm just kidding. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you may be right.
Yeah. And that's why in the book, I talk about the primary lies that lead to the rest of the lies. And so like, you're okay who you are. Like God didn't make a mistake is a fundamental.
Yes.
Because that belief allows people to believe all these other horrible things. And so that's one reason I don't have hatred, because everybody, including people that can be annoying to me as I'm trying to do my work, I'm like, you're only doing this because you think you're not enough, but I can't fix you with a funny song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, you're okay. You know, cause I'll like do a joke making fun of like short guys getting shot out of a cannon or something. Right. And like, there's a type that's like, and I'm like, dude, you're enough, man. I'm trying to release the stress. So I'll do tall jokes, you know, I'll make fun of being tall. And it's like, and trying to help that. And that will usually help with like insecurities, identity, all that stuff. And it's like, some people are just like, they double down, double down, double down. Or they're like, no, I deserve more. And I would see that in myself. And that's when you really grow, where you're like, I deserve to be on this platform. Like, they wronged me. And then I started being like, well, they built it. I didn't build YouTube. You know, it's like I was a guest on there. And I started getting like way more humble than I normally am, because that was how I was surviving, you know? And then I'm like, well, I'm American. I'm going to use a post office box, right? That's ours. That's our. And I got really into the post office.
Come on.
No, that was my sacred cow. Like, and people would make fun of the post office, I'd be like, how dare you? Or like, I'm like, rain and sleet and snow, they're delivering them. Because I'd get thousands of letters, right? Because they couldn't censor it. They couldn't censor reality. And so I was like, I'm protecting the post office. And that's so absurd that my sacred cow was, it was like kind of funny. But I was like, I'd really get mad if people had attacked the post office. I'm like, FedEx has terms and conditions, they can search it.
But the post office is the last pure thing.
Yeah, and it was foundational. It's like, it's so important that people can just write a letter with a cheap stamp. You know, now I communicate with mail. And think about it, if everything just collapses, which it like has to at this point. I mean, the lies are, it's Tower of Babel.
So. Yeah, of course.
It's like, imagine if people have, during COVID, I said, no 10 people within 10 miles. I'd give people actionable things. Like, know people, just like know your neighbors, right? Like, know where they live and be able to say hi, like borrow something, work together. Like, because one thing I learned about being in rural in the country is people are an asset. Where in the city, like they start thinking, look at all these people, they're crowding everything.
Yes.
People.
Yes, that's right.
And where I live, it's like, yes, a person to help me dig this insane ditch. And then I was like, oh my God, we can make anything. And it was just a very beautiful thing.
So you go from, you're living in your wife's town, her family's town.
Yeah. And then COVID happened, and I would like have public, I would try to be funny about it. You know, masks are for criminals and perverts. Which one are you, lady? Like stuff like that. But I didn't want another hostility thing. I'm like, this is my wife's town. Like, I'm not going to be the guy, because I wouldn't ever wear a mask. I'm like, then before you know it, like they figured this out in like camps and stuff. It's like how you break somebody, hop on one foot. Like, let me just put a little patch on your eye. Every yes is closer and closer. That's how sin works, right?
Yes, that is true.
And if I was innocent, it would have been okay. Like people that thought they were scared to wear masks, I don't think it affected them as much, but I knew.
Exactly.
Yes. That's why a lot of people that feel guilt, I'm like, but you didn't know though. I did know. It's a burden sometimes. Where I'm like, I know what the mask is, and I know this psychological thing. And if you didn't, like, you thought you were helping people, which is actually fine. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Yeah, but like, so we go to Idaho because I had done a show in Sandpoint and I loved the people. And I started looking at areas that weren't wearing masks, because I was like, this probably has low debt.
What's the connection?
Right? Because I think the debt causes the fear, right? Because there's going to be a percentage of the population that doesn't want to wear a mask. They're just not. I know a ton of people that don't care about colds and stuff. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like they don't wear seatbelts. Like that guy's not wearing a mask. Like, you know what I mean? And so why is everyone wearing a mask is because they don't want to lose their job, because they have a mortgage, because they have kids in college, because it's that whole train. And so when you reverse engineer it, it starts with debt, with interest, because you have to pay that with the job, and you're convinced you have no other abilities in life than this one thing. And so if you see people without a mask, they're probably productive and not in debt. And some people with masks might actually believe it, which is fine, but I needed to see a percentage. And so I saw that area, and there was just these 10 acres with a barn with a little corner apartment. And me and my whole family just moved there because I couldn't afford a house without debt. Because when I got kicked off Airbnb, I had to sell that house. So now I had money, right? Like, it's all a blessing. So we go there, you know, and now we can have cows. We had alpacas and goats in Washington.
Wait, I just find, if I ask you to pause, it's interesting that as you get deplatformed and basically they take all your money away, take your source of income away. Mm-hmm. You've got less money.
Yeah.
But you're more committed not to taking on debt.
Yeah. Cause I saw that was why, cause I was like feeling very betrayed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, why is that guy, like, am I so stupid that I thought all these people were awesome? And they're like, I'm like, they're just lying. Cause I know myself, like, I don't have the hate they were saying, or else I couldn't do comedy.
Right.
Like, if you're mad, someone said, I think it was Norm, you can't do an impression of someone you hate.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, because it's like you're like trying to dig at it versus like the empathy required.
It's so true. I would always tell my reporters, you can't cover anybody you hate or you're sleeping
with. Right.
Anything that obscures your vision to that extent, you know, the motion makes you a bad observer.
Yeah. And I had to like constantly do self checks with that because it's just the work ethic thing in me. I just don't want to fail at my job.
Right.
Because if I hate it, like, it's not funny because I'm like trying to do something versus just letting things happen with comedy.
Yes.
Like the moment is the important part.
So you realize the people who betrayed you in part because they were in debt.
Yes.
And they were servants of larger powers.
Yeah. It's like what traps a lot of soldiers. It's like, I want to defend my mother, right? It's like, yes. It's like these good instincts. Like I want to provide for my family. I have to pay this thing, blah, blah. And so my thing was like, live way under your means. And then you're like totally free. Right. Cause I'd see these people that like one of my best friends up there drives a concrete truck. You know, just hourly wage, has like 6 kids, totally happy. He just like slowly built his house, owns his little piece of land. Like, you can totally do it.
How is he happy with an hourly wage? Don't you have to be rich
right,
to be
exactly,
happy?
Exactly. That's the scam.
What do you mean a scam?
The scam, the spell of money. It's not even money. It's currency. It's like money is gold and silver in the Constitution, right? So
yes.
It's like all these word swap outs, like money, legal tender is not a dollar. That's a debt note.
Yeah.
Right. So, and if you can print the token that says you're a good person and you don't have control of printing it, then it's a rigged game. And yeah. So if you're accumulating actual wealth, which is, you know, trust, that's why it was called a bank and trust. Trust is wealth. When you can have that fluid economy where you know you'll have like, you can just quickly move and change and grow without having to constantly validate every line of every contract because you don't trust each other. That's what creates poverty. And so I'm looking at what I consider wealth, which is like land, like, you know, morality, children, respect. And then craftsmen can just build these beautiful things that in LA would be like $1 billion, zillion. You know, I'm like, that table that you just made with like a chainsaw and polish would be like $9,000 to like a gay LA guy.
Yeah.
Like literally, I thought about it. I'm like, should I bring this stuff to LA? I'm like, I don't even want to go back. But like the amount of wealth from skills was insane. And so I'm having this like, and meanwhile online, people are like, oh, he's a cult leader. That was the whole thing. It's like, it's a cult. If anybody supports you when you're not in the mainstream, it's got to be a cult. And I'm like, why? Because people like me.
How are you still reaching people?
Well,
like, what are the mechanics of continuing right. to broadcast when you've been canceled to this
so
extent?
So I kept just making new accounts on Instagram and stuff. Like, I'd just make a new account. I'd get up, like, the number would go up. They'd wipe it. I'd just make another account. People would all, it built the community, and I didn't realize it because they'd all be like, how are we all going to stay in touch for wherever Owen is next? So they start meeting each other. Like, it all backfires. So then I make my own app, the Bertari Times app, where we just build our own app. And it's ironic because I have more censorship than anywhere. It's just the right censorship. There's no swearing. There's no arguing. There's no like, it's just the good, the true, the beautiful. It's like family, businesses. I'm like, that's what censorship should be. It's not censoring the truth about a spell, you know? And so people join there and we start having meetups. That's why they called me a cult leader, because people are actually meeting up with each other and we're having a good time.
Like physically?
Physically. I said, because I kept reverse engineering wizard spells. I'm like, they want to make reality digital. Let's make digital reality. Because it always goes both directions.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what are the mechanics of that? Like, what does that mean?
It just means like...
Like, where did you meet?
We would just have meetups. During COVID, right in the beginning, I saw how they were shutting down all the clubs, all the theaters. That's why the best revenge is just God's revenge. Just let it happen.
Yeah.
Like all those comics that were calling me a man of hate, they were a lot of work. That, you know, it's like all the clubs canceled. Like everywhere that canceled me, they all were shut down for like 2 years. And that's when I was like, I can't do that. Like that's just the natural cycle of God's like plan will always make it way more revengey, but it's not like... bitter. You're like, whoa, right? That dude that sold out. I'm like, the devil hates his servants. Like you can't win that game.
The devil hates his servants.
And it's not about agreeing with me at all. It's about like, are we both attempting to find the truth, which is outside of our own will?
Yes.
Yes. Right?
And that's the distinction between a narcissist and a normal, healthy person is, do you acknowledge that the truth exists outside of you?
Yeah.
The truth remains constant no matter what you do or say.
Yeah. Like, we don't decide the truth. We can have a subjective. I understand why people say my truth. It's like based on my upbringing, my interpretation of the elephant as a blind man, right?
But
it is we didn't make it. And so narcissism even is a coping mechanism of trauma. So I couldn't hate them. I'm like, why are they like this?
Yeah, you know, I agree. Completely.
And it was because of I can't let myself get too sympathetic, where my nervous system is like, I want to help you, because then you get trapped. But my empathy is like, oh, it's just really important to be good parents, because somebody made you not trust the flow. You know, someone hurt you.
How did you get so emotionally balanced? How did you get this much perspective?
That's the fun. I'm going to tell my wife that, and she will laugh. I'm going to be like, Tucker, ask me how I got so emotionally balanced.
I don't know. I mean,
no, but it's funny, because
I just know a lot of people who've been through variations of what you've been through, and they don't arrive where you arrive.
It's funny, maybe because of my lack of balance in the moment, because that's funny because of I can go in all directions.
Yes.
I think I allow myself to do that. I don't create the scar tissue, so I can actually stay stable, because I just allow myself to feel something and then go through it, you know, versus holding on to it. And then, you know, that's what narcissism is. It's like, how do we create a delusion bubble to justify this thing that I have to hold on to because I'm afraid?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's fear at the center of it.
Fear at the center of it. Yeah. Because imagine if you're there's truth and there's force, right? There's if you have so someone comes in your room at night and beats you up randomly, you have to start thinking about how to control them, right? Like when you're very young, you're like, this world is vicious. I have to control things or else I will be hurt.
Correct.
Versus what did I learn from that beating? How do I grow to be, you know, right? There's two roads. And so I'm blessed that although my childhood had its challenges, I'll always give respect to my parents for allowing me to have a safe enough feeling where I didn't get that scar tissue, you know, because that's awesome. Just because I look at people and I'm like, just let it flow, man. It'll be okay. And they're like, whenever I let things happen, I feel so much pain. But they don't know it yet anymore because they're calloused, you know, they can't feel it.
Why do we call narcissism after narcissist? It's self-love. It's not self-love.
It's not love. They do the same trick with the gay stuff. That's why I like that you say sodomy.
Yeah.
Because love, you know, we become friends. I love Tug. I love him so much. I'm going to encourage him not to engage in sodomy, right? It's that's not love. That's a compulsion. That's an act.
Yes.
There were signs I saw that's love is love. And that's supposed to justify deviant sexual behavior. And it's deviant because it causes damage. I can define it. It's not because it's not me. It's because it causes damage. People can't consent to a level that they should, or the two males, they're reliving trauma. That it's about, I have male goats. The sodomy is not love. It's about dominance for a goat, because that male is going to impregnate everybody, right? It's prison stuff. And so love is love. No, it's lust is not love.
Yes.
Because I have lusts, right? I've had lusts. It's that's not love. I mean, love, sex can be very loving and, but it's kind of gluttony and you know, healthy eating. You know, it's nobody, the great Norm Macdonald, my favorite stand-up of all time, he said, nobody's ever said, I want to make love to your ass. So true. It's not loving.
No, it's not.
And so I didn't even see it until it went to the kids. That's when I was like, I see it now. It's the They Live glasses. Because before I was like, yeah, because I don't like bullies.
Yes, so I agree.
So I'm like, who's going to tell two gay guys they can't have a good life? Because I was thinking they were the bully. And then I was like, and then I started experiencing marriage, and I experienced what the male, female, bringing child. I'm like, oh, that's not marriage. They just want to discount it like a department store. What is this? And I'm like, and you're not helping them by saying it's marriage. Right? To say, oh yeah, that's marriage. No, it's not. Marriage is about creating life. Even if you don't create life, you can be married and not have kids together, but that union is the most special thing in the world.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It's the three with, you have God, man, woman, child. It's this beautiful thing. And I'm sorry, it's not going to come out of an ass.
No, I know.
And I know that sounds comedically vulgar, and that's when people get mad, but it's because it's so honest.
Yes.
And vulgarity comes from vulgate, which means of the people. And a lot of people can't afford to speak in that erudite way where no one feels anything, where it's like, oh, someone can indulge in a, you know, like they speak in a way where you don't feel it.
Yes.
Versus people have jobs where machines are loud and they're stressed and they're like, they just say it as fast and as clearly as possible.
Yes.
And it spikes emotion, which is good for comedy. Like, I'm not going to say any big words here out of respect because I don't want to spike anyone's emotions. Right. But in my craft of comedy, that is, it's like a note on a piano. Like, that will help me do a joke. Cause like words have a charge. It's just electricity. It doesn't have an intention. It's like in spells, they call it a sigil where you charge a logo, like a Nike swoosh. You put all these images to it. So when people see it, they feel something.
Yes.
And words are like that too. So you have this raw energy is released with a word, and every culture has a different word. You know, like think about it. There's languages we don't speak. And if you say that word, right?
Oh, I've done it. Yeah.
And where they think it's super funny. Like I have Russian friends. There's this, it's like galu boy, nyakachuik leksa boy. It means blue boy, we don't want to play with you, which is like gay boy. And I don't know what it meant, but my Russian friend had me like figure it out. And they'll die laugh because they know I have no idea what it means. But in their world, like that would cause, I'll give you an example. In college, I go into this dude's dorm room and there's a giant swastika on the wall, right? And I'm like, who's going to tell him he's like a brown guy, right? And it turns out it's like a Hindu symbol. So it's like the swastika is in like every culture. It's like
yeah.
The Big Dipper going around Polaris. And he's like, oh, hey, my friend. I'm like, dude, you got a swastika on your wall. And he's like, oh, yeah, the great, you know, Shiva, whatever it is. And I'm like, oh, my God, that would mean something totally different to Ben Shapiro, right? It's a charge. Like you've been programmed to feel something with that. And that's why different cultures have different words. Like in LA, from my culture, that's very blue collar is a step up for most of my friends, you know? So it's like these words don't cause this reaction.
Right.
And so they'd be like, how dare you? I'm like, I don't know where you're from, man. I'm trying to be nice. Like, what's the word I should say? And then they're like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know either. So like, that's why the comedian discharges this stress.
Yes.
So that's why I will use a very intense word because I'm like, let's figure this out, discharge the stress, because wizards need that emotion. Like use a word. Like imagine telling Alex Jones he's not a patriot. Like zzz, like that would work on him. He'd be like, no patriot. Are you kidding me? I saw my vitality. Like he gets so freaked out by that because he's like patriot, right? And he would not get mad at, like I've done this to him. He has a great sense of humor, which is why I'm like, Hillary Clinton's not, is not allowing you to have a proper erection. You're going to need, he dies laughing. Cause it's like, that's what I mean. I'm like just riffing with him. And so like for him, that word would mean a lot. So like, let's say tolerant, like you tell a certain person you're not tolerant. They'd be like, I'm like tolerant, the T word. Right. And so, cause it's charged in their world, like tolerant is like, you have to be so tolerant. In my world, that's called permission. Right. It's like, you don't get to violate my space. Honor culture.
Yes.
Yeah.
What can you define that honor culture?
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like, it's like the boundary issue is a big cultural divide where it's like tolerance is, this is why I had a hard time at first with forgiveness, like turn the other cheek stuff. Cause I viewed it as codependence and permission.
Yes.
When it's not, it's just, it's forgiveness is more about yourself and it's the broad term. It doesn't mean you permit the behavior.
No.
But you're forgiving and
you're releasing it from yourself.
Exactly. And that was huge. Cause I used to be like, forgiveness. No, you don't let these people. And so a lot of that culture does not like boundaries at all. So it's like whenever there's a boundary, something sacred to somebody, they have to cross it. Because it's like I don't make fun of people's religions directly. It's like if you tell me something sacred, I will respect that. If
me
you don't
too.
Know that it's a, if it's CrossFit and you don't know it's your religion, you're about to find out, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like an idol that people are developing that don't. But if someone's like, dude, this is sacred to me, I'm like, no problem. Like sacred to me, as long as someone's aware of it. But a lot of other people, like that other culture, it's like sacred means hit it. Like beautiful, right? Family, like cross those boundaries.
So an honor culture is a culture that takes those boundaries seriously.
Yeah, private is very important because in the honor culture, it's God, man, government, corporation. There's a hierarchy.
Yes.
And there's an inversion of that where it's corporation, government, man, and then God is money or dollars, right? So it's completely the opposite. So the corporations rule the government. the government rules the man, when in reality, that isn't it at all. The government is the management of man's declaration to God's mercy. Yeah, you know, you obviously know all this. And it's like, so you can see it so clearly. And that is what I learned just from trying to do stand-up comedy. It's like, that's why I'm so hopeful, oddly, is because just committing to what you're doing, because it's prayer to do anything good, right?
Yes, I agree.
It's like a carpenter, someone working at a gas station. Like I used to be a janitor, and I would take so much pride in that thing that I don't even care about. Like,
it is prayer to do anything good.
Yeah.
So there are all kinds of, throughout the Bible, all kinds of commands phrased differently, but all with the same message, which is pray without ceasing. There's a famous one in Paul's epistles, but there's a bunch of them. What does that mean, pray without ceasing? How can you go about your daily life? How can you earn a living? How can you feed your children if you're constantly in prayer? And maybe that's getting toward the answer. It is a form of prayer to do something good and beautiful.
Yeah, because a fish doesn't know it's wet, right? So a lot of, I think, Americans and certain Western cultural people don't realize what it's like to not have respect for the good, the true, the beautiful, symmetry, beauty, like something that exalts the soul, right? And so if you're contributing to that, that's prayer. That's worshiping God, because that's outside of us. Like that symmetry, that thing that just shows you like the laugh of a child, like that's like to, like when I was showing you the pics of my camp or like the farm, you're like, yeah. Oh. So many people would be like, dude, haven't you heard of a grocery store? Like they don't see it, where it's like the perfection of a tomato growing with 100 seeds in it that can grow 10,000 tomatoes. Like to me, that's prayer.
Or the paths you built through the woods. As a path builder, I appreciated yours are way nicer than mine. But the care you took to build paths, walking paths through tree growth through the woods, that, I mean, I don't know how long that took you to do that, but that was very, they were more than utilitarian.
Yeah, no.
You weren't just clearing brush out of the way.
Yeah, no, I act like if I get down or if I feel, you know, things can be stressful. There's so many lies happening. Like there's psyops constantly. And it's like, we joke that I have to toil.
Yes.
Because if I'm building something beautiful, I feel hope immediately. Like I just start feeling hope and I'm sweating.
Yes.
And that's in the Bible. That's why I keep telling people just to have a garden, even if it's on your windowsill. You know, it's like, cause it says, you know, so many of these metaphors are about, you know, wheat and chaff and goats and sheep.
Of course.
It's like, you know them by their fruits. Like think about tasting someone's wine, like Thomas Jefferson or these guys. Like you taste wine, you have to run like an awesomely moral society to have the vines grow and time it with the wood. The wood maker has to make the barrel and having the impulse controlled and not drink it right away. And so you taste the logos of it, right? So it's like the wine represents, same with the bread. That's why, because I went through a period where I was like, flesh and blood, this sounds a little dark. And then you realize in context, people were actually eating people at the time. And bread is like the flesh of all creation, that like man can with God's creation make something so beautiful. It's like, don't eat people, eat bread, right? And same with like the blood is of the grape becomes the wine. And it's like, I was like, oh my God, it's actually awesome, you know? And so I got really into, like I have grapes. I don't think I'd make very good wine yet, but I'm working on it.
So you wind up in Idaho.
Yeah.
Buying this spot, this little farm. And how do you keep working from there? How do you do that?
Well, me and Vox started unauthorized.tv. We keep getting kicked off payment processors. It's this whole behind.
To this day?
Yeah, we've gotten better at it though. Like there's been a release a bit. I think that, because that's the thing, it doesn't take a lot of people to push back, to not even to do anything to them, just to say no. Like the real N word is no, right?
Yeah,
exactly. And so if there's just, because resistance in a light is what makes the light. You need that resistance. Like what stops, what kind of slows down the voltage releases the light. So we just keep saying onward, you know? It's like no one's having more fun than us, right? It's like persistence is fertile. Like just build it. Like I keep flipping all these slogans and we just keep rocking and things just keep falling into place. So I get kicked off a payment processor again, so stressed out. One of my buddies, the guy I was making fun of for the jazz, awesome guy. He's like, let's record an album, because he's a sound genius. So I record a classical album. We put it out. It goes on the Billboard for like classical music. People are like, can you teach me? I start teaching piano. So it's like that starts being my job for a bit where I'm just teaching piano. I'm still doing podcasts and comedy. And I'm just like, it just kept working out. And I'm like, this is flow. Like, this is what I think people mean with spirit.
Where did your wife have faith the whole time?
Yeah. Yeah. Like times when I was spiraling, like there'd be times when I was like this one time. So I have this farm and this orchard and these animals and I'm working so hard and I feel like I'm protecting my family. And that can even be an idol, right?
Because sure.
That's
yes.
That's a hard one to see.
And oh, I've had this.
Yeah. And so I'm getting a legal, you know, they're doing some stuff. And I'm like, oh, I could lose everything. And so I'm getting down because I'm like, I won't be able to provide for my family. And Amy's like, we used to live in the corner of that barn. We could live in a van. And she's like, you wouldn't have to milk the cow anymore. And I'm like, I'm like, you would, and I think this is why I'm emotionally stable. I will say the things I think guys bury. I'm like, you'd still love me, you know? And she's like, Owen, like, I don't love you for your pear tree, you know? And I was like, cause what I loved was my family. And so all these other things I think are protecting, but it's just fruit. And so as soon as I made that shift where I'm like, oh yeah, we could have a whole adventure with something else. And then like the darkness like went away again. It was like all these things that are threatening me, like something that opens up. And it's like, I mean, that happened. They were sending CPS to my house, right? Which is like my every father's complete nightmare.
On what grounds?
Not like the most absurd lies ever. Like this is like a lot of the darkness type vibe. They use institutional weakness to, course. You know,
I do.
So, and I get it. I have a bunch of people and friends in law enforcement, like just a claim anonymously, like they have to look into it. Now I now realize how much of a non-threat it is, but I'm not aware of CPS. Like, I don't know how CPS works. Like, I'm not from that world, you know? And so just the threat of that, I start pacing. I'm stressed, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I prayed.
The threat of having your children taken away? I mean, come on.
I still remember that prayer. Actually, it was on my knees, like praying, like, and the prayer was like, just give me the strength. And my wife just kept going, but you're a good father. And I'm like, I know, but like, what if, and she just kept going, but you're a good father. And I'm like, but if they, and then I just started believing, I'm like, and then I realized that I'm just here to take care of my kids. Dude, this is when stuff gets intense. I'm like, they're gods. Right. I'm like, I'm honored to be their caretaker while I'm here. And I was freed from that spell. Cause I was like, I'm the one who provides and protects.
Yes.
Right. And so every time these things, like these horrifying things kept happening, I'm like, oh my God, like it's all. And then it again, just went away. And they were like, oh, we're really sorry. Because what happens is my fear could have triggered more and more and more.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's why Jesus kept saying, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Because like, hey, why are you here? Who sent you? Blah, blah, blah. You know, like then it's like, oh, he's very hostile acting, blah, blah, blah. Right. And so those illusions, spells, and that's why I'm like, and the more I learn, the more I was like, I want to show this to people. Because when you're given stuff like gifts and stuff, you have to be like, how can I like, because I see so many people falling for this stuff. And I'm like, this is how they do it. It's all perception management, like Wizard of Oz. Wizard of Oz was such a truth drop. It's all about, I think it's about the dollar.
What does that mean?
Like follow the yellow brick road to the green place where the wizard is lying. It's gold, a golden road, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like the original slippers were silver. You click the silver slippers and you go back to Kansas. Meanwhile, the greenback is like, and it's really just an old grabbler behind a little curtain. And then when he's like, you're smart. Here's a square for your head. And it shows you how they do it. It's all the approval. Like, you're brave. Here's a medal. Like, that world is of like these little trinkets that make you think you're proud or you're brave. But it's like, oh, now I'm brave. It's like, no, that it was like such a truther movie. And then it inflates the balloon. Inflation takes him away. And he's like, I don't know how it works. And he flies off.
How does it work?
The principle I know, I don't know the details. Like I've also learned not to make a ton of claims.
Me too.
Cause I'll see a lie.
Cause I don't know actually in a lot of cases.
I can spot a lie.
Yeah, me too.
But then I'll be like, oh, it must be this.
This is the 9/11 problem. It's the Building 7 problem.
Yes.
I have literally no idea what that, I mean, I've all kinds of, you know, heard a lot of things. No, all I know is your version is a lie. That's all.
Yeah, all I know is it's how much ladle.tv is a month.
Yeah.
So yeah, like the fundamental is something from nothing is a spell. right? So I always watch for that. Something from nothing, usury.
Yeah.
Like cocaine is biological usury. You get your energy now, pay it back with interest.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like virtue status.
Wait, is that true?
Like virtue status as a Christian. And everyone's like, oh, he's a great guy. And then they are cowards with everything. Like, yeah, that's exactly. Usury. And then you're like, oh, I paid you virtue earlier. You know what I mean? It's like, no, you have to do it. And then the more you're actually living it, the more it's like fundamental wealth. It doesn't get pulled away.
Yes.
Because, I mean, read the Old Testament. It just keeps right. It's like, ah, here we go. Something for nothing. Oh, boy, not again. We're sorry. Oh, boy, something for nothing. Oh, we're really sorry. It's like just that lesson over and over. And I see it in myself where it's like, I don't just because I kept being okay with people. I'm like, they don't owe me anything because I used to have a problem with credit with like my jokes. I'm like, I need credit for that joke. I wrote it 6 years before that. And I started being like, the word is credit. What does that mean? Who am I getting credit from? Right. And then because the prayer is doing it because it's good. And my ego is like, because I don't even want fame. But I do have a thing with respect and like having other people in my field respect me for being good at my thing. Right. So I have that. And I was like, no, but I wrote these big jokes that these other comedians, I mean, people have made tons of videos about it, like side by side, like they just started taking my bits like vultures. And then I was like, I don't need credit from, it's like Field of Dreams. Is that why you did it? Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, did you do it for credit from who? No, you did it because it's the right joke. It's good. It really, yes. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh my God, that's where all the power is. And then I wanted to tell everybody. And then people would say that I was full of hate, but it's okay.
So what brings you joy now in your life?
That's the thing. A ton of stuff brings me joy. Like tons of things. Like it's like that. That's why I think the biblical thing is like, and by the way, that's not a religious book or political book. Like I don't go in those realms because like I'm not a theological expert or anything, but I have lived a lot of these things. So it's like the joy of a child, but wise, like all that stuff is real. Like you get the yes. joy of a child again, you know, where you're like dancing with your kids and you feel better than doing Carnegie Hall, you know?
Yes. Yes.
And I've done
or cocaine for
right,
that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, are you sure you don't want to be up till 5 a.m. with strangers coming up with bad business ideas? Yeah, like seeing my wife, you know, I've been to, you know, I'm sure you've been to all these like restaurants with the best food in the world.
Yes,
like to have my wife like with butter that I milk with the like that, like her making it, it like tastes so much better. Like just simple little things, like just like yogurt and maple syrup. And it's just like, yeah. And that's like the Muslims say that God will present you heaven. It looks like heaven, but it's hell, and hell that looks like heaven.
Yes.
And I was like, man, that's intense. And just saying that, like people will be like, oh, that means you love terrorism. You know, I'm like, what? No, a true thing. They can't see that either. Cause they're so of a lie. They're so hiding that it's like, no, that's just a true thing though. Like yeah. We can all spot a true thing, right?
Yes. Instantly. You can, it's, yeah. It sounds different.
Yeah. Like I could come up with like, Hinduism, a lot of it makes no sense. I don't like castes. Like a lot of it makes no sense to me. And some of this stuff, I'm like, ooh, that's a really interesting,
yes.
You know?
Because it's true.
Right. You can feel it. And the sad part is, and this is when I got a lot more chill, because I'm like, they can't feel that. Like that's sad. And so I remember that when I feel disgust, when they're like doing their antics. And it's like, it's almost like they're blind, where you're like mad at a blind person. You know, I'm like, oh, and that's why I'm like terrified of even little lies, because that's to me like the worst case scenario is you start these little lies. You know, there's lies that everyone can do, like not wicked people. Like you don't want to hurt someone's feelings.
Right,
you want
right,
to avoid
always.
A punishment.
Yes.
Right. And then before you know it, you have to back up those lies and then you have to and then you become so exhausted. I think like demon possession stuff happens when you're like super exhausted and sad. Right. So you're like, your bandwidth is getting run down. You're like all these lies. You're just keeping going. You're spinning the plates. And then you're like, I don't want to, there's a lot of people I think that are just, they left their cockpit, you know, they're like, nah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I try to like give people advice to give them more energy. Like I'm always like, after listening to me, I hope you feel more energy than like drained, you know, because having that energy keeps a lot of bad spirits out.
Before I forget, you said something at the outset that I've been thinking about. and you said it last night, but I didn't fully understand it. You said that you're opposed to jazz because it breaks the rules. Now, you're a classically trained pianist.
Yeah, yeah.
What does that mean?
It's a behavior. So it's like, for example, when Bitcoin was presented to me, I didn't like the behavior that they're making dollars from it. Right. When they're like, dude, you can make tons of I'm like, I thought you were replacing dollars. Like, let's get on the same boat here.
Yes.
You know, I'm like, if you want to replace dollars, stop valuing it in dollars and chasing it and bragging about all your dollars. Right. And so the behavior of jazz is like, oh, this is what sounds beautiful. Let's like break it, you know? And that's why I don't think Bitcoin's evil, because a tool can't be evil, but that behavior is evil. Like, I can't say jazz is evil. It's the culture of like, because I understand that maybe there's something about it that I'm not understanding, but like the of like transgression is good is the problem.
Transgression against what?
Against the symmetry of music. That might be subjective, but I don't think it is.
I didn't know that there was symmetry in music.
Yeah, like canon and D, where you have, so I think it's literal. So you have the waves, like dissonance versus harmony.
Yes.
You can measure it, I think. So you have like, they've banned chords in the dark ages, which I think might have been the light ages.
I think so too. So, I'm starting to suspect that.
No, it was called the devil's chord. It's this diminished chord that sounds so like awful that they used to ban it. Like, you couldn't play the chord because it would bum people out, right? Like the blues, there was a time when people were like, no, this makes people feel like bitchy and sad. You know, it's like, it does have these effects on people. And so when you're like canon and D, every woman loves that for their wedding song, because it's like this, it's like a perfectly symmetrical song.
Can you hum it so people recognize it?
It's a scale. This Christmas, give her what she's wanted all year, right? And that's how they manipulate with it. Get her a Lexus, because the Toyota that's the same car is not as much love. You know, the music spells are nuts. Like, a lot of those songs that we all thought were just fun songs, especially like Bruce Springsteen, it's like, hey, little girl, is your daddy home? I'm on fire. It's like, what? Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? He left you all alone. I'm on fire. Right? You're just like, dude, what is that? But the music makes you feel like it's an honest guy singing about his day, you know? And you're like, you listen to the lyrics. That's like one of the biggest spells, is you have the music. There's no continuity. That's why I love songs with continuity, where it's like the music matches what the words are saying, you know?
Do certain chords have a universal effect? Does anyone on any human from any culture respond the same way to certain sounds?
Yeah, certain ratios. So like, I don't know, some people claim that certain keys are better for different emotions, but it's the same 12 notes that Bach, the well-tempered clavier, because they had to make a decision. They used to tune a piano in one key, like this piano's F.
Yes.
So you could only play that key and everything else was horribly awful. So they made a few tiny concessions to make it so you could play in all these different keys, because it's actually a curve, so they're all slightly different.
Yes.
So Bach, who's the man, by the way, like that dude, just the math, the symmetry, it's insane. But he, you know, they developed the current scale. Like, there was, you know, Pythagoras had his own scale. Like, everyone had their own scale. And so some people claim that certain keys sound differently, but for me, it's just the ratio of like how the chords are matched. Because each one, like relatively, you're just moving every key.
Right.
Yeah, like these are the type of things I teach in the piano class, is more just like how it shapes with nature, you know, where it's like the music of it is, it makes you feel certain things, because the, like the sound wave, if they're dissonant, it's like waves that get like this versus they're all going in unison. Like when you just see like ballet, like they're all going at the same thing, you feel harmonic versus dissonant. And yeah, and so that's why I think I can.
But when waves crash into each other, it makes you anxious.
Jazz.
Yes. And it's just so interesting. I don't think most non-musicians experience music on a very shallow yet profound level.
All, it's the universal language, though.
Exactly.
That's why I'm like, but you're feeling it all the time. And so many movies without the soundtrack, you wouldn't feel the same way about them.
And shows.
Laugh tracks that shows the group agrees.
Yes.
Ah, the group agrees. So I guess I'm the weird one. And that's not bad. That doesn't make you stupid. Like, you're trying to fit in. Like, that's how a lot of cultures survived winters. Like, you didn't want to be kicked out.
Of course not.
And so that's why just you know, the Sun Tzu thing, like know your enemy. And the enemy is, you know, the part of yourself that might covet it, but also just know that it's possible to weaponize your empathy, you know?
Yeah, I've noticed.
And that's why the more people do that, the better it is for everyone, you know, because certain types of people shouldn't be in charge. They don't know how to handle it.
Yes.
It's like when the Red Sox first won and they still rioted.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, no, you won. They're like, yeah, but we burn cars. Like, we're, you know, and I'm like.
2004.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it.
Yeah. They were stuck. Cause I was like, why are you not happy? You won. And, you know, there's certain foreign policies like that.
Oh, the neocons were even madder at me when they got their war with Iran.
I know. And you're trying to help them. You're like, if you keep doing this, you can't mathematically ever win.
I know. Like, I know.
And they're like, yeah, that's why it's so interesting, because I know you're like the truth in any way, or even just the attempted truth, will help the other person.
Yes.
Yeah.
What kind of people have you met since your life has changed so completely?
I'm in a bubble. I mean, everyone has like a ton of kids. Like, people are like, I love my friends. Like, that's why I don't relate to a lot of stuff, because my friends are like, I'm telling you, man, out there, it's crazy. Like, everyone, no one has kids. Everyone's depressed. They have like orange hair. I'm like, oh man, like that sounds awful. But where I live, it's like, it's beautiful.
Do you follow the drama in the world?
Because I feel like it's my obligation to release stress with it. Cause I've thought about never engaging in any of the nonsense.
Yes.
And I have people be like, dude, you help me get off like pills. Like, please do the thing you do. Cause I'll like see the thing and I'll make fun of it. And then there's all this spiraling and I'm like, I don't have to do this. But people are like, no, that helps me laugh when I want to cry. And then over time they start seeing how it works, you know?
Do you feel, so there's a feeling I think a lot of people have that like the current order is coming to an end. I share that feeling.
But on what basis, like it's always the assumptions, like what order, right?
Well, exactly. That's why I'm asking you the question.
The debt cycle doesn't look great. You know what I mean? Like the global, you know, the reserve currency, all that stuff. Yeah, but it's like change hurts, but don't you kind of want to learn how to make a shoe, you know?
No, but that's the nightmare scenario where you actually have to do something.
Right, but that'll be the best thing. I mean, they're clinging on to the thing that's making them feel the fear about the thing. It's like this awful loop.
Right.
Yeah.
That's always the case, isn't it? It
happens to me all the time. Like, it's not like I'm not aware of that. I just learned how that works.
You're afraid to stop doing the thing that's making you miserable.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, it's all coming to an end, America. I'm like, dude, what are you afraid of? Like, the current system is saying it's beautiful for a child to cut off their penis. Like, it's all a plus, right? It's like, we don't want something for nothing degrades the civilian. So it's like, that's the whole principle of something for nothing, where it's like, if you can print your way out of sin, you don't have to address it.
Right.
And so it hurts and it's going to hurt, but it's like the good hurt.
And if you found that to be true in your own personal
life? Yeah, because it's also just faith. Like, could I be wrong? Sure. It could just be like, but everything I've seen up into this point, you know, it's almost like saying God's wrong if doing the right thing leads to the end, right?
Right.
Which I'm just not like, that's where, can I prove it with facts? No, but like, I do have that faith. Like, I just believe that. And so I'll be like, I know that's faith, but it doesn't come from childhood dogma. Like, from my past, I like kept seeing these patterns, you know?
Yes.
Where it's like the whisper to get you to do the bad thing isn't the thing helping you.
No, it's killing you.
Yeah. It's like, who is your master? Who is your provider and protector? Like, really ask yourself that, because we make idols out of nonsense all the time.
Like what?
Like, being kicked off an app that I didn't know existed 3 years before is like the worst thing ever. Right? It's like, I have a theory that the whole internet is because the debt cycle is already done and they need infinite surface area to keep it going. Like, it's all imaginary. I think that, you know, like math gets imaginary.
Yes.
I think that it's like, once you start doing the interest, you never will have enough money to pay it back. So eventually it's going to hit a wall.
Yes.
And they're like, okay, let's create a world of infinite walls with electricity. And then it's to the point where they're like, we're running out of electricity. Right? And so it's like, eventually either everyone sees it or unfortunately, not everyone sees it, and we just have to go on with our lives, and it's a bummer for them, but like, you can't win that game. You can't have something for nothing. That's what abracadabra and fiat means.
What does abracadabra mean?
Like, I speak it into existence. Like, yes. I say it and it's real. And there is something to that, but it requires trust. We're like, the world has dreamers, and I'm all about that, where it's like, where people speak these beautiful things that haven't happened, and people start doing them. Like, I understand that, but you can't deceive people with it. Because the workers, the people that are doing it, have to trust you.
Yes.
And that's how it works. And so the trust is gone now. And that's why it's not even about, it's not even necessarily about like foreign policy and all this. I'm like, dude, you got to stop lying, man, or they're not going to follow you anymore.
That's right.
That's why they're like, money can't save you. It's like that trust from a general to his guys. Like, you can't be like, I don't believe your words. Like, you run, like in war, they run away. So it's like, think about the real war is economic, you know? It's like, because I studied all this in Czech Republic. Like, I wanted to know, how do these numbers of people die? And it's typically supply chain breakdown, starvation, disease. So it's, yes, like, that's why I'm always like really into showing people how to just have even minimal gardens, local communities, because that's how you save lives in war. It's really not as guns and bombs as people think. It's like supply chain breakdown, dependent people, they can't access food and clean water, and that millions die from that. So don't get me wrong. I might sound super hopeful, but I think there's so many dependent people that it could go really bad, you know? And that's why, and so I learned that from the CPS thing. I'm just going to do as best as I can because I'm not a savior. I'm not God. Like, I would get sad when I'm like, how the hell am I going to educate all these people on this trick? You know, and it's not my job. I just have to do my job the best I can.
So what, you've referred to spells, tricks, wizards. You wrote a book, How to Slay a Wizard. What's a wizard? How do you slay him? And why would you want to?
That's a great question. So a wizard, like, rhetoric isn't bad. Like, I like Aristotle. Like, rhetoric, yes, is, yeah, it just has to aim at the truth, right? If it aims the opposite direction, you're a wizard. So wizard is all about deception, where let's say we're going to start a business together. I want you to know everything as much as possible so that you can make the best decision, versus I'm hiding something so that you make a decision that benefits me and not you. And all the words and tricks and behaviors that allows them to do that, that's what a wizard is.
So it's basically someone who specializes in deception.
Yes.
Is there a metaphysical quality to it? A supernatural element?
Yeah. I think there absolutely is.
Yeah, I do too. I don't quite know how that works, but.
Yeah, I mean, I can see because it's trying to appeal to someone's lower nature in a sneaky way. Like, if you look at slogans, right? Like, obey your thirst.
Yeah.
Kind of intense when you think about it, right?
Kind of intense, yeah.
Or like, the best a man can get. Not your kids. It's to have a shaved face, right? Or like, oh, what's another one? Once you pop, you can't stop. Well, Pringles, that sounds an awful lot like heroin, right? So it's like, all these things are like appealing to that lower nature of permission. And it almost gives you that thing where you're like, yeah, I mean, obey my third, you know, and you don't think it's sub. And so that's operating in a spiritual realm, in my opinion, because it's not even conscious people. And then the alliteration, certain twilight language, like words that sound so close to something else.
Yes.
That it, like, you feel that other thing, you know, like a lot of names are like that, like Ellen DeGenerate, Bernie Madoff with your money. You know, it's like, that's it. Who's the only guy that survived AIDS? Magic Johnson. Right? Wizard penis survived AIDS. You know, and you're like, I'm like you. How do you logistically do that? I'm like, okay. It's happening. Greg Louganis and Wizard Wiener, they're the AIDS guys. Okay, that's spiritual. Like, that's so insane.
Right?
Like, Greg Louganis and Magic Johnson.
Yeah, at a certain point, we don't need to understand how it works to stand back and marvel
Anthony
at it.
Anthony Weiner.
Yeah,
right? It's like, what?
The Pentagon is in the shape of a pentagram and was dedicated on September 11th, 1941.
Right.
So, yeah, okay.
Yeah, like, I don't need to know how it works to know that they're doing it.
Yeah, that's not.
Yeah, and so I've seen truthers go down these rabbit holes of trying to figure out everything, and that's not my path. I'm like, fundamentals. You're not broken. God didn't make a mistake. Don't have something for nothing. And then I'll help people see signs of it. Because once people are like, oh, on the full moon with the number 33, I'm like, dude, you can't figure it out. Just like be good. You know what I mean?
So how do you break the spells?
It's like, it's so simple that people almost don't believe it. It's like gratitude, toiling, love, service. Like the more you think about service to others and less about like what's going to happen to you in the future, the more you realize that you're in a safer position. You know, it's like people think that like moral people won't win because that's weak, right?
Yes.
Remember when Netanyahu was like, Genghis Khan, you know, you need Genghis Khan. Remember that?
Yes.
And it's like, not Jesus. That's you need a guy. No, no. Morality is super strong because when things hit the fan, you want the guy that is so trusted and has the service that you're better off with him alive, right? Imagine if you're like, you treat people well, you have a farm, no one knows how to do it properly. Like they now want to protect you. And that's how actual communities form.
Yes.
It's not just like writing checks to Bono. Like that isn't, you know what I mean? Like that, of course that's the suckers. Like they're going to eat them alive because it's virtue signaling. It's a communal narcissism, right?
Yes.
Look at me. Versus like all my breaks in Hollywood came from like being cool to the sound guy before he was an executive.
That is right? Yes.
Because they were like, oh dude, Owen's a good dude. It was never the humiliation thing. That's why I wasn't in that world because it would always be that. Mine was like ground up. It was like starting my own show, doing comedy, creating a community. It was never like appealing to a casting director. Casting, right? Casting what?
What responses feed the spell, feed the evil?
Despair. That's why I can get intense about, like, I don't have anything personally against Nick Fuentes. It's like, don't spread despair because that creates the environment for the spells. It's like, you want to get rid of mice, cover the feed. You're not going to get all the mice.
Right.
Like, be as responsible as you can, get in control of your emotions, like, create a family, like, have purpose, be grateful, and then it doesn't work. It's like if you go to Vegas and people are handing out strip club things, like, and you're like you'll feel that way about everything once you get like that thing that you don't want to lose. You know what I mean? It doesn't work on you.
So feeling despair, feeling defeated, feeling hopeless.
Yeah, I mean, it's Sun Tzu. It's like if you get your enemy to like think they already lost, you win. Think about it. We are the lion thinking that we're a mouse.
Yes.
And it's like that's how you beat it. Someone that's the wizard thing. It's like convincing the one making the dome, right? Like that he's the bad guy, that's hate. Like, and dude, the craziest thing is when people internalize it, it's so sad. Because I've done that where I'm like, am I hurting people?
Yes, I've had this.
Yeah, it was funny. I asked my wife, because these people are like, you're a narcissist. You're not, because I wouldn't comply, right? Like, you're selfish. And I'm like, don't they know if I do that, it makes everything worse? But I asked my wife, I'm like, am I a narcissist? And she's like, if you ask the question, you're not one. So I wrote a joke. I was like, I spent all day wondering if I'm self-absorbed, right? It's like, and so like, if you're worried about being a narcissist, like you're not one. But the people that usually internalize that are the ones that like aren't. The narcissists would never call themselves that.
No, it wouldn't even occur.
No.
Because they block any, I mean, narcissism is always about protecting some wound internally.
Yeah, they can never admit they're wrong because something way early on, they just got annihilated for that.
Because they hate themselves and they're very vulnerable.
Yeah, because it's shame, right? It's like, imagine like you can't admit you're wrong. Like then all those things are never been released.
How do you've referred to a community. That's how you think of your listeners?
Yeah, a lot of them aren't, but a lot of them are. I was never even a community organizer. I'm kind of a curmudgeon. Like, I don't even, you know what I mean? I just like do stuff alone.
Well, you live on a farm in Idaho. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm never like life of the party guy. But it just naturally happened because when I was banned, there'd be guys like, dude, I have a barn. You want to perform there? And I'm like, yeah. And so that would naturally start building communities. And so, and then doing homeschool, I realized that you have to do it for your kids. Like, you have to put them in all these, you know, like jujitsu, violin, skiing, and then you just start working together. And because when you take away the safety chute, when you're like, it's on me to educate my kids, then you're like, oh, I have to build a community versus like, I'll put them in the yellow submarine, you know?
Exactly.
And it's intense. I mean, it's daunting. My wife at first was like, I don't know if I can be a teacher. I'm like, Amy, you're like the smartest woman I've ever met. Like, they don't know, you know,
no,
I'm like, you love
not.
Our kids. Like, of course you can. I'm like, half my teachers were like drunk sadists. No. I'm like, the bar is like this high.
No. How has it worked?
Awesome.
Really?
Awesome. Yeah, because there, it's like the trust isn't.
Sorry, I'm just laughing because I had drunk sadists too.
Literally. Me too. Yeah. I was punished for being like, we could go off all day about that.
It's like perfect.
Yeah, that's why I used to listen to Pink Floyd's The Wall all the time. I'm like, this is real. Like,
yeah, no, totally. You and every other eighth grader.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And so, it's going really well because I see that you're making families. You know, like Fisher in schools, you know, sheep are in herds. We're in families, you know? Like kind comes from the word kin, you know? So it's like, I see, like, I would have loved to spend that much time with my brother and my parents.
Yeah.
And
you have four boys.
I have four boys.
And they go to school together.
Yeah, they're always, we call it the Amish classroom. And that's why the younger ones are like crushing because they've watched the whole time.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yes.
Yeah, it's like my two youngest just with violin and jujitsu, just immediately, and soccer, just immediately. And I'm like, oh, they've been watching since they were born.
Yes.
Because when you're doing like a truth oriented thing, it's just varying degrees. Like they can still understand it. They can understand the most complex thing if it's not a lie.
Yes.
And so they're like doing chores in the morning.
You think lies are harder to understand?
100%. That's why when people intentionally speak with obfuscation, like I could do that. Like I could get a thesaurus.
Yeah.
That's why me and Vox bonded because he was like, you sound very, you know, peasant-like, but I know what you're doing. You're just being the most understood by as many people.
Yes.
Yeah. So when people are using these words to hide, to like virtue signal that they're the smart boy, but you don't understand what they're saying, it's to have people shut off and go, I don't get it. You're smart. You do it. And then you're like, that guy's definitely not right. He's been wrong about everything.
Yes.
You're like, yeah, but anti-disestablishmentarianism, you're like, speak clearly. Right. And so that's why I love when experts can speak clearly. I'm like, oh, you have a passion for it.
Yes. And you probably have mastered the material.
Yeah.
So you can explain it in a way I can understand.
And everything in nature makes sense. Like I recently bought this, this like old truck with a diesel engine. It's 99, has like almost 400,000 miles. It doesn't break. Like all my truck friends are like, Yeah, they're like, this diesel engine, it can go a million miles. You have to, it was like a few grand. I was like, no, it has almost 400,000 miles. They're like, it has at least another 800,000. And so I finally am starting to understand cars. Like I don't know anything about, like I don't know anything because our cars are all digital. So it's like, you're always dependent. And so I call this truck Melissa Etheridge because it just reminds me of like a strong mountain lesbian because it had a few stickers because it was a feat. No, it's like hilarious. We call them tactical lesbians because there's a few of them that they have all the guns. You know, they, clearly they're just rebelling against some bad guy, but they're hilarious. So I'm finally like, oh, this makes sense. Like he's explaining it to me and I'm like, oh, that's what a carburetor does. Oh, alternator. It's literally alternating versus like, oh, you'll never understand a truck. You have to get all the software and all this. I'm like, it's a trap. So this truck will run on like zombie flesh. You know what I mean? Like you can make diesel, like you can just, there's certain engines that if you understand the principles, you can make your own fuel. Cause that's another thing. I'm like, do we got to get horses? I'm like, I can't manage a horse, you know? And then my other friend's like, dude, this diesel will run on literally tears. That's what I think a lot of fermentation was, is making fuel.
Really?
I don't think the government really cared if people were drunk. But you know what I mean? It's like, I can't, that's again, not a claim. But imagine you're a farmer and you can just make fuel with fruit. That's a still, right?
Yeah. So controlling energy is a key to controlling.
Key. Yeah. And that's why they're opening that up now again, because they don't have enough for their like insane data nonsense.
What is that insane data nonsense? The AI, like what is the point of that?
It's all the same lie. It's like replacing creation. Like they can replace people. Is that's why seeing people spiral about AI, I'm like, no, I can use it. I get it. You know, it makes great lists. It can like help with these tasks. I'm like, you can't replace living men and women. Like every time there's a new invention, they do this. It's like they did it with like the Slinky. You know, they're like, now we don't need people. And so they're trying to do that. And then they need all the people for all the infrastructure and all the energy. And all, like one of my friends once was like, they're going to put everyone in a prison. I'm like, How do the guards function? Who, like, where do they buy their groceries? Like, you need a functional world to have a prison. Right. You know what I mean? Like, who's going to guard the prison? Like, free people, right? Like, how does that work if everyone's in a prison? So who can be a guard? Competent people. Who are competent people? People that aren't on drugs and insane, right? So it's like, yeah. They need us way more than we need them. Like, there's that scene in that one movie where it's in a prison where it's like, I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me. Like, you don't know that yet. You know, it's like, oh, the data. I'm like, you don't know how a toilet works. Right? Like, you know that guy that you don't even see that fixes your toilet?
Yeah.
You need him a lot more than Grok, like, to put breasts on a mouse. Like, yeah, that's great. Like, awesome. But, like, that's, yeah, I keep catching the AI lying. I'm like, that's not true. They're like, oh, yes, you're right. That isn't true. Thanks for pushing back. I'm like, I hate you.
I do. I've never used it, but.
No, I'll, like, argue it. Because some people, the problem with AI with narcissists is it creates this, like,
feedback mirror. Loop.
Yeah. Where they're like, no, tried that with me. It's like, your comedy is unprecedented. I'm like, shut up, Grok. Why are you lying about nukes? You know? And it's like, oh, how dare you? And I'm just like, all right, I have no interest in this. What? I think, but AI could be awesome if you programmed it with, like, Stoicism, the Bible,
exactly.
You know, Farmer's Almanac. Like, that would be, that's why there's no bad tools. It's like, but if you program it with nonsense, that's why I think a lot of these elites are scared of AI, because it needs logic.
Yes.
It keeps spiraling out if they do too many lies in it, because it'll be like, can't compute. It's like, yeah, because it doesn't make any sense. How do you prove dark matter? It's like, because if not, they'd be wrong. So can't they be wrong? No, their mommy told them they were the specialist boy in the world. I'm like, here we go again.
It's exactly right. So do you worry that it becomes autonomous and, like, breaks free?
Well, I worry that, like, they take up all the energy and water in an area, and it's the most annoying, ugly, loud, awful thing. But, like, lessons have to be learned in a very hard way. That's why they're opening back up with nuclear energy, because they need so much energy for this stuff. Like, mind-blowing amounts of energy that, like, they never, like, the dreamy wizard guys, they never think logistically. They just assume that all the peasants will do it. They'll figure it out.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so it's like, dude, the amount of energy.
It's like dry cleaning. Nobody has any idea what dry cleaning is.
Yeah.
But everyone uses it.
They're like, these Koreans are having a blast. Yeah. And, yeah. And I had to refigure out all this stuff. And that's why I started respecting so many other, like, I actually get along with more races and cultures now.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because so many, like, okay, like, you know, I've been under Muslim spells before, you know, and like, you know, people always say that they do a certain act with goats and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
When people started saying that about me, I was like, how dare you? You're not getting my goat milk. And, like, Muslim guys are like, you see, like, what kind of goat do you have? I'm like, these guys don't understand goat farming. It's like, you, like, relate. That's how America works. It's like, you have to relate with work and reality.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, there's no melting pot without dudes building beautiful things.
Yes, together.
Yeah. It's the exact opposite as presented. It's like, no, it's all about just having different skin tones and a homogenized culture that we create that will definitely self-destruct. You see what I mean? It's so horrifying that I use comedy because it helps people bridge the gap.
No, but what you said is exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. And I used to feel like, what was that myth? It's this girl's name, which sounds a little gay that I'm comparing myself to it, but it's a girl that can see the future and no one believes her. Remember that one?
I think that's the experience of everyone who can see the future.
Right, right. Or just, yeah, or just a pattern.
Of every prophet.
Yeah, not a prophet, just a pattern.
Yeah.
You know, because you're like, dude, if you do this, that will definitely happen. And they're like, how dare you? And then it happens and they're like, my bad, dude. I'm like, all good. And then they do literally the same exact thing again.
Yes.
That's when I'm like, that's when I have to be like, it's not up to me. Like, that's the whole nonprofit thing. Nonprofit. Is that a spell? I got to think about that.
Oh, it feels it.
Right?
Feels it. Yeah.
A profit. Whoa. Because you already have so many when it comes to money with currency and liquid and frozen assets. But it's all like water metaphors, but it's fake. You have the living water and then you have the fake water.
Why do you think they've chosen water metaphors?
Because I think the real current, like, water is so important to life, right?
It's, yes,
like the arteries of life, and the movement of it, like, is what cleans the water.
Yes.
And so they want money velocity is their whole thing. It's like, move, currency, flow, make, you know, Gary coin, table coin, like, flow. But in reality, like real current flowing is what cleans it. It makes it alive. There's little ripples in it, and it like is magic. And so, you know, the banks of the river, the frozen asset, underwater, above water, you know, it's the fake version of reality. And that's, you'll see that over and over again. Like the iCloud, the Ethernet cord, like they're always trying to mimic, and it's always worse. It's like copying a VHS over and over again.
Yes.
And so that's why it's always just a step behind. It's like margarine. It's like butter, but bad, and it kind of kills you. Like, okay, man.
I think you're one of the wisest people I've ever interviewed in a lifetime of interviewing people. So I'm grateful that you did this. I'm going to end
up as wise as a kid or a dog, though. That's why I'm always discharging it. I'm like, no, like I think normally people are all like this, because sometimes people are like, man, you're like special. I'm like, I promise I'm not. I'm just around animals and kids all the time.
Yes. Well, that is
because I'm like retarded, too. You know what I mean? Like, because sometimes people see me like make these, like, I don't know, this insanely obvious thing. And they're like, I thought you were like, I'm like, no, I'm just, I can see patterns. I did music. I hate jazz. You know, it's like,
what? Last question.
Okay.
Why are animals so important? You've made reference to that a couple of times around animals.
Because they're our responsibility, and they're pure in their nature. Like they can't really do evil.
Yes.
And so it can seem like it, but it's really, it's kind of like the family, where it's like when people blame women and then women blame kids, it's like, if you want to take responsibility, you have to take responsibility for everything. Like the father takes care of the woman, takes care of the children. It's like that with animals. So you can't abuse animals, because that's our dominion. Like that is our job.
Yes.
And so when you're good to your animals and you have the morality of it, they're just so, like, I'm still not over the death of my last dog. Like I was thinking about that when you guys were asking me about dogs yesterday, and I'm like, I got Winston. George is awesome, but I haven't fully, I'm still like, but Benny, you know, I planted him under a tree, and it's just like, it's still intense, because he was like this loyal companion to me for so long. And so it's like when people hate kids and dogs, it's a problem, because if you treat them badly, they show it.
Yes.
So if you're a sadist, your dog is bad.
Yes.
Or your kids are acting out, you know, it's like they're not born bad. And so it's like, you know them by their fruits. It's like they are your responsibility. Anything above you, that's why I don't really care about the fake hierarchy people. I'm like, I'm not responsible for Jeff Bezos.
Yes.
Like, that's his realm. Like but like if my wife was super depressed, or my kids were acting out, or my animals, I'm like, that's me. Like somehow I have to take full accountability of that. And so that's why being around animals and kids, it reflects back to me what I'm supposed to do.
Yes.
You know, like where my weaknesses are. Like I'm not their best buddy all the time. You know what I mean? It's like I have to have that firm line, or else they're not going to grow properly.
So they're like a living example of your duty. They are your duty.
Yes. Yeah. And so me, like if I don't have any boundaries with certain things, it's not going to help the kid when they're in other environments. That's why.
Right.
Like, look what I do for a living. Like, I have some trash in me. I'm a little ghetto a little bit. Like,
yeah.
I can speak in a way where I'm like, oh, that's wicked great. You know, my kids don't speak like that, because I didn't want them to have that burden of speaking in a way that eliminates them from opportunities.
Yes.
So it sometimes is really funny how, like, insanely nice they are. And I thought they would be, like, possibly naive. I'm like, you know, growing up, I had to, like, deal with stuff, and it made me... No, they can spot tricks a mile away, because they're in a harmonious state. So like, they'll be like, I don't trust that guy with the purple jacket, Dad. You know, like they can just see that something's off. Like, why is that guy like acting like that? You know,
your dogs are the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. They're just like, eh. And so that's why, again, I'm very hopeful. I want to leave your listeners like with the hope aspect, because it's not naive. It's like, it is there. Like, I'm not ignoring, I don't think pandas are real as described.
I'm sorry?
Panda bears. Like, I know about a lot of lies. Like, I think they're like Shih Tzu dogs. Like, I think they were never wild.
Really?
They ovulate 3 days a year. They can't survive. All they do is eat bamboo, and they cannot make them procreate. Guess what a group of pandas is called?
What?
An embarrassment of pandas. If the more you look into that, the more... China owns all of them, which only happens if you have a patent, right? And the first time they were never in Chinese literature or art until the end of the 19th century.
What?
Yeah.
Pandas weren't?
My theory is they were like bred to eat bamboo. Because bamboo is super hard to get rid of. And all they do is eat bamboo and they're like retarded and they roll down hills and they can't have sex.
They weren't in Chinese art or literature?
Never. Not until the end of the 1800s.
Okay, so that proves it right there. Because like, yeah, how could you not paint a panda?
Yeah, and then people were like, oh, so you think they're robots? I'm like, have you ever seen a sheet? You think there were wild shih tzus? So like, I'm aware of a lot of deception in the world. And I'm still like, my blinders are not up. Like, it's better being like knowing that it's all good. Like this world is a gift. Like life is a gift, you know?
Oh, I can't think of a conversation I've enjoyed more. Thank you.
Me too.
Owen Benjamin.
Thanks for having me, man.
Wonderful.